The voice of one crying the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The voice of one crying the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The voice of one crying.
You're welcome to yet another time that we have been opportune to seek the Lord. Scripture promises us that if we seek Him, we will find Him, if we search for Him with all our heart. And we had begun to look at the concept of leprosy, which scripturally would address any and every situation where a person was disqualified from participating in the camp of the people of God. There are conditions that disqualify us from being partakers of all that we ought to be. I'm going to give you a quick panoramic view, a panoramic view of what I'm trying to say. If you look at the book of Numbers chapter 5, which we glanced at briefly on Sunday, from the first verse, we'll read till verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, command the Israelites to send away from the camp. Do what? Send away from the camp anyone with a skin disease, anyone who has a bodily discharge, and anyone who is defiled by a dead body. Three major categories that disqualify. It would do you great good to pay intense attention to these life-deciding factors. Life-deciding. One, skin disease. Most of your Bibles, some translations, especially King James, will say leprosy. Leprosy. So understand that. But also those who have a bodily discharge or an issue, when it says issue, to issue forth, to secrete, okay, to secrete. So if you have a running sore, something that is constantly secreting liquid, now it could be from your private parts, it could be anything. This was God's way of keeping His people healthy. Long before modern medicine came to be and they started saying, oh, there's this kind of affliction, it's very contagious. So let's pretend someone had Ebola back then. All right. God already knew that any kind of affliction that results in liquids coming forth, that it tends to be contagious. It tends to jump. So it's other people are going to get infected. And the Lord went to great measures to keep His people healthy. And He would say, someone has this kind of affliction, this kind, let them stay away. Even when the females, you read in the King James, it sounds really bad. You know, it says your monthly uncleanness. All right. I'm sure sisters don't feel very good when they read some parts of the Bible. Overcome your initial displeasure with those expressions and focus on some of these matters, which many years ago, I believe we took time and spoke about. We spoke about how God was not just protecting them from spiritual affliction, was protecting them from physical affliction. The Israelites were the healthiest people. They were. Because their God built their sanitary code into, you may say, their religion. And, you know, I've shared how you read in the Bible and it says, you know, that it may be well with you. And you're like, he says, eat this, don't eat this, that it may be well with you. I used to think, yes, so God will bless you. And I found out that He doesn't have to bless you. When you don't eat pork, and with all the things that issues in pork consumption would carry, especially back then, still now, but especially back then, because of all the terrible things that pigs would eat. So they were infested with all sorts of worms and pathogens and bad stuff. So when you eat it, it goes into you, and a host of afflictions accompany them. God didn't go into explaining, you know, if you look under a microscope. No, God has microscopic vision already. And so He just tells His people, you know what, don't eat one, two. Every single thing God says don't eat has a health issue. There's not one. Don't eat monkeys. Don't eat bats. Don't eat. Now, modern science, thousands of years later, says, this one is a host to this. Everything God said don't eat. Fish, marine, aerial, bovine, name it, it has issues. So the God who made them, or at least made the things that he made, and then human beings came and tampered with what God made, knew and said, do not eat it. So he wasn't saying, if you eat this thing, I won't bless you. No, he was saying, you'll be sick. You know, to not be well is to be sick. And so I got to understand that. It's not that God was following you around with a stick. If you do that, I'll strike you. No, he was saying, based on my endless knowledge, if you eat this, it won't be well with you. If you disobey this, it won't be well with you. If you do this, it will be well with you. If you do this, you will live long. If you do this, it will be well with you. That's, you'll be helping you and all that. This is throughout the scriptures. When he would say the females should separate in the times of their monthly cycles, their periods, their menstruation and all that, it's because of the huge possibility of infection. So we talk about the bed during that time. Then we talk about how at the end of it, you should wash all your the clothes involved. He would talk about it with the males too, that they notice themselves having discharges at night and all of that, bodily discharges, which accompanies sexually transmitted infections and all the rest. The same rules apply. He would say things like you should stay alone. He would say the bed, you say that others should not sit on it. He would say the utensils you used after that season, that you should wash it. He gave those instructions so his people would be healthy. That's the major physical reason he gave those instructions. The second reason is he was giving spiritual pictures using physical realities until today. And that's what we are looking at. That's what we are emphasizing now. Our modern medical practices, sanitary practices, take care of some of those other issues. You know, we have just different things that help us stay healthier. Good. It's not desert life. It's not 4,000 years ago. We have advances. We made advances in sanitation and so on. But what about the spiritual meanings? What did he mean? Because he's God and you worship him in spirit and in truth. All the examples the Lord gave, multitudes of illustrations and instructions, carry spiritual weight. If we do not understand them, you don't understand the spiritual implications of what the Most High God meant, then you blunder through life. You may be physically well, but psychologically and spiritually sick and afflicted. And if you can't see the great wisdom of the only wise God in hiding the secrets to spiritual wellness in physical instructions, you can be as modern as you like and as in trouble as you like. So look at what he says here. He says, command the Israelites to send away from the camp anyone with a skin disease. All right. Anyone who has a bodily discharge or issue, the body is secreting things from the skin, from the genitals, from wherever. If you notice that is going on, it wasn't a one-day thing or a recognized 4 or 5 day thing. It's gone on. Put them outside the camp. You won't see them say they should put out a woman who is having a monthly cycle outside the camp. You don't see that. Okay, so you know it's not that one. There were categories. But there are other kinds of things. Oh, this man, this has kept on, says put them outside the camp. Maybe it's coming out of his mouth again, like Ebola. Something is just wrong. Remove him. Before you understand, their treatment was outside. It was called a quarantine. They were removed first and attended to outside. Because while you're still talking, the whole school has chickenpox. Who has been in school before that? It was chickenpox outbreak. Primary school. How many children did they start with? 1, 2. Next thing, they shut down the whole school. If you are taking action from there, say, well, I don't want her to feel bad. Now, everybody feels bad. And in the houses they go to, the people in it will feel. So quarantines are, it's wisdom. During the Black Plague in Europe, 500 plus years ago, I mean, they would die. Of course, it was connected to what they were eating and so on. The Jews would not die because they were eating according to the law says. So the Jews were alive. After a while, they said they are the ones killing people. Say, you people are witches. Why is everyone dying except you? They were not eating the carriers of the things that were killing people. Because the God, who knows, had given them instructions that they may have not believed in Jesus. The Jews, not for a long time. They didn't believe in Jesus, but they were still eating according to the law. And that by itself, even till today, has consequences. Even till today. All right. Not spiritual consequences, physical. Spiritually, you recognize, you put them out. And finally, you are defiled by a dead body. How? How are you defiled by a dead body? You touched a dead body. Is that all? What's wrong with that? Oh, dead bodies are primary hosts. They carry lots of bad things. Bad things happen around dead bodies. You have no idea, one, what killed the person sometimes. Two, after the person died, what is now inhabiting the body? So someone would die in the wilderness. Someone would die, whatever was the cause. The people would fight war. The men of Israel would go out and fight battles as they fought. They would stab someone, drag. The person's blood would touch them. You qualified for touching a dead body every time you went to war. When you come back, you stay outside the camp. You don't go in. You don't just say, well done, everybody. Mm-mm. Stay with all your fellow. You touch blood, you're infected, possibly. So you would wait, and they would observe you. Any fevers, any shakes at night, you're fine. But wash, go in. We look at the book of Numbers when they went and fought the Midianites and took out Balaam and you know, those Moabites and all those. You'll see that in I think chapter 30 and 31. You know, but you see them, you know, and they are fighting and all of that. Now, don't open it or anything. You can go look at it by yourself. I hope it's Numbers. It should be. And they go, and when they come back, they tell them, wait there. It's not, you don't say, God sent me. Is it not God that sent me? It doesn't change the law. I sent you, yes. The law still applies to you. I don't want you to go and kill a Jebusite with HIV and you bring it into my camp. Kill your enemies. Don't kill my people. The rules were simple. So dead bodies were the third primary source. It is why they only allowed some people. They didn't allow the priest to touch a dead body, except it was a child or a very close relative, maybe his wife or all that. Priests could not. Amongst the reasons, when they touch dead bodies, they also constantly minister to people. It's not just saying, I'm too clean. No, you have to understand the reasoning. It is that the job of the priest by its nature is to constantly interact with people on behalf of God. So what happens when your priest is on 7 days lockdown? What will you do? All the sacrifices, you people travel, you came in from Bethlehem. You wait for 7 days. They say the priest is on lockdown. Priest. Remember, the priest went to the house. Again, are you seeing the wisdom of God? So he says, no, the priest, no, you don't touch their bodies. So the priest will stand, do this, do that, but he won't touch. It's not just the religious righteousness. It was practical decisions. Now, spiritually, it also means that when you represent the Lord between people, there are many things you shouldn't touch. You know, we've spoken about dead bodies. I'm sure in the future we'll say more about it. But over the past many years, the Bible tells you, you touch a dead body, you can't celebrate the Passover. Numbers chapter 9, can't celebrate the Passover. Why? Because you're unclean. You're going to infect the celebration. You can't participate. And but that also tells you that those who have been unable to share in the Lord Jesus and the sacrifice he paid, many of them, religions of the world, they are in contact with their dead body. Jesus is not a dead body. He's he who was dead but is alive forevermore. Every other religion, dead bodies. Doesn't matter which religion or religious leader you're following. It's a dead body. Whoever was leading it is dead. Spiritually, those are dead bodies. It's only those who have come in contact with the Lord Jesus who is not dead. He is not here for his reason. He's a living body. He's the living Christ. He's the opposite of a dead body. Demonic things are dead bodies. Things that have been touched by flies. The Lord of the flies is the word Beelzebub. Dead things are things that flies squat on and move one disease to and from. Dead things. That's why dead things, carcasses, attract flies. Dead religions attract demons. One of the signs that a group of people or a church is dead, notice a lot of demonic activity. Church be dead. If there's light, flies tend They can buzz around you and disturb you, but you don't see a living human being with flies squatting all over them. No. They might, one might, or two might try to perch. If you're carrying something they like, you ate mangoes. Yes. You raise that hand like this. You'll be visited. So you have to carry something. That's why Christians can have demonic oppression. When you carry what demons like, that's an announcement. Come to me. Other than that, you're clean, smelling of antiseptic. Waiting fly, carry you. A fly comes. What's all this cleanness for? It passes. But you carry what flies like. Behold, I perch. You shoo it away. Comes again. I'm talking about nice things like mango. Let's not go the other way. They smell bad stuff. Yes, no? They smell bad stuff. You stepped into what you should not step into. Long before you knew, the fly started telling you. You know, what's the with flies? So you, what's the smell? Then you pick your shoe. Who remembers? Terrible feeling. You sat in class. You kept wondering what? Terrible feeling. So flies. Demons. Beelzebub. Lord of the flies. That's what it means. Demonic entities are drawn to smelly, dead things. Things that are no more alive. Things that are rotting. Things that are decaying. Things that are, King James, perishing. Perishing. Demons. They are drawn to it. They'll come. They'll bug your mind. Pester you. You know. So, a lot of the issues people have in this world, it's not so much, why is it only me? What have you been touching? What have you been in contact with? What have you stepped in your walk? Where did you go? Why are you bombarded with so much oppressions in your mind and all that? Very likely you've come in contact with dead things. You know, feces is the ultimate dead thing. It's dead things that have been expelled. A lot of dead things squeezed of all its goodness. Does not have real nutrition, and it's gone, was passed out, rejected. Your body said, I don't want. You find yourself, even a body, I don't want to explore this too long, but a body of believers, the body of believers says, go. You go after it. What did you want? Did anyone understand me? Did one person understand me? The body of Christ expelled it. You went after it. Do you know what you just did in the spirit? You don't, right? You know dogs eat feces. Why do you think the Bible says like a dog will return to your vomit? What the body expelled? Bleh. Who has seen a dog eating vomit before? All of you here, you think in your mind, you say it's those local dogs, including those, you know these dogs. You'll be shocked at what they can do. Who has seen a fine dog before licking up vomit? Dogs are not very discriminatory. You. A dog is a dog. Fine dog, ugly dog. I know they are well-fed and spoiled dogs, but generally, I mean, I was taking a puppy home many years ago, fine cross between a Caucasian and an Alsatian, you know, a German Shepherd, and it's the back of the car, and they had given him noodles or whatever. The owner said that's what they used to give it, you know. And the poor dog, maybe motion sickness as I was driving, too, was the back, down there at the back, you know, and he went, you know, he threw up, and you could see noodles. It wasn't really bad, but it dropped, you know. I kept driving. Poor dog. Don't worry, I'll get home. When I got home, I looked for the the dog was still there. The vomit was gone. I think the dog went like, now let's not dirty. It's my new owner. Let me not. I cleaned it up. Clean. Yeah. That's a dog. So when you find yourself, 2 Peter 2:22, of them the proverbs are true. A dog returns to his vomit, and a sow, a pig, female pig, that is washed, goes back to her wallowing in the mud. You find yourself, a body expels something. Something is expelled from a body of believers. You find yourself trailing it, tracking it down. So go and do what? Why do you think the Bible says don't eat with such a person? You don't understand. Who understands now? I know, again, if in your mind you have been expelled from body after body in your mind. Say, are you saying I am? I didn't say nothing. I just said 2 plus 2. My own addiction so far keep giving me four, no matter which angle I approach it from. It's an expulsion. Paul said, expel such a man from me. Why did he say that? He clarified. He said, don't you in 1 Corinthians 5. He said, don't you know a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Is it not the same thing a contagion does? It spreads. So God put protocols in place. God put protocols in place. Remember, God wants his body to be healthy and clean. Remember? Good. There are the nations of the world who allow all sorts of things, but God does not. God said, Numbers 5, you know, the next verse. So he said, send them away from the camp. Verse 3, you must send away male and female alike. You don't say, no, she's a female. No. She's a female. Why? Because these afflictions, these infestations, this contagion does not say, I'm a male contagion. She would, if it was a man, I know he's strong. He can survive. No, the woman will kill you too. The woman too will kill everybody. Male and female, that's strong and weak. It doesn't matter if they are carrying it. The damage they will cause. Pathogens are not picky. A virus doesn't say, which body are we? Female. Okay. Should we jump to other people? Mm-mm. Because we are still in a female body. Let's keep it. No, they don't. They are not picky. They practice that equity. That the false equity people speak about. Read with me. Send them outside the camp.
So they will not defile their camp
where I dwell among them. What do you notice? Send them outside the camp so they will not defile what?
Their camp.
Watch. Who owns the camp?
Them.
It's their camp. Dude, are you hearing this? It's their camp. It's not the other people's camp. It's their camp. Unfortunately, and we are going to look at the causes, the sources of leprosy. Everything, as usual, will be from the scriptures. You will find out that it's not everyone that has leprosy that was directly responsible for having. You'll see one of the ways of getting leprosy is by inheritance. Lineage. So you need to know. You don't just keep saying, what did I do? Or who said I? You can have leprosy without having any hand in it. It doesn't mean it's not your camp. It doesn't mean it's not your place. It doesn't mean they are not your people. It just means that you need not to be willing to defile your own camp. You should love your camp, your people, the dwelling place of God's people enough not to kill everyone. And you know, this is one of the signs of those that are the children of God and the children of the devil. 1 John 3, verse 10. You ready on Sunday? Let's read it again. Read.
By this, the children of God are distinguished from the children of the devil. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother.
Did you see that? Anyone who does not love his
brother.
He said, do not defile their camp. They should not defile their camp. If you love your brother, would you purposely pass an infection to him?
No.
Would you? You wouldn't. Don't defile your camp. If you love brother. Now, the children of the devil don't love the brethren. You don't care. You don't care. So they should reject me. I'll now look like I'm bad. So you don't mind everyone here wrong dies. Even in the movies, you see someone. I say, stay away from me. No. Don't come in. Have you ever watched a movie like that where the person stayed? Some shot themselves dead. Don't. That's love. Even unbelievers know that love will make you not pass an infection. So the truth is, many, many people, your real issue you have is that you're not really properly a child of God yet. You don't mind infecting. I've often said that I've seen people give themselves to sin. That is, they came to the Lord, then they start pulling away to sin. I've seen people cut away neatly, causing no problems, dragging nobody along, just living neatly. I used to tell the leaders, I say, I admire those who can do things like that. It means there's some level of love. I've heard people have said, I don't want to be the source of stumbling to others. That's an admirable, that means there's some element of love in you. Then there are those who don't give a hoot. I don't care if I take 50 people down with me. I'll drag you all down with me. You know, your punishment is way bigger. I always tell this house, for many years. I would say in the future, if you're ever tempted to backslide, can I help you? Please, backslide alone. Don't drag people as you're going down. You give account for everyone you took down with you. In your mind, you know, because of all the wrong beliefs we have about hell, about all those things, many wrong beliefs, utterly wrong. So in your mind, no, hell is the same. It doesn't matter whether all you stole was matches. What's that say? Matches, I mean. One matchstick, yes? Or if you kill somebody. If you like, believe nonsense. Ignore the Bible and believe nonsense. The Bible is clear that you'll be judged according to what you did. The Bible tells you that it's according. The Bible says it very many times. It's according to what you did. And in case you didn't get the points, as usual, we find in the law. He said it's burn for burn, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. In other words, God goes after. It's called justice. It has to be equal. God judges you according. In case you're not sure, no, that's the law. What's this man preaching? Let's stick with Jesus then. Matthew chapter 7. With the same measure you measure, it will be measured unto you. And in case you're not still sure, well, you know, Jesus, I've heard preachers say, they say Jesus is, that's before the cross. Let's go after the cross. Galatians chapter 5. After the cross. The apostle of in quote grace. Not true, but that's what we say. A revelation. Paul, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that is what he reaps. Galatians 6 verse 7.
Do not be deceived. God is not to be mocked. Whatever a man sows, he will reap.
It is what you sow. It is not, I slap three people. So you give me one slap back. Kim, you slap one person, but you know sin is sin. So one slap. You're very confused. Three hot slaps plus their children are waiting for you. That's what, after the law, all your days were written in his book, according to the book of Psalms. Revelation 20, and the books were opened, and everyone was judged from what was written in the books. So, whatever I do is equal. See, you, I'm not a worse sinner than you. Bros, I have this session I have for unbelievers. See, dear unbeliever, you're here, you're online. Jesus loves you and all that. Always remember this. In your sinful life, sin small. Okay? Sin small. You understand this thing in the future. You see how this will help you. They will beat you, but it will be less. But if you sin much, they will beat you plenty. Jesus said this all the time. He talks about people's punishment being worse or greater. The whole scripture, all the apostles said the same thing. Till a generation that decided not to read their Bible, but follow men of God. I like this one. I like how he talks. I like how this one dresses. I like how the other one looks. So I'll believe everything my preacher idol says. I won't read the Bible. I won't look at it. I won't simply type in the word judge. If you want to go after the cross, because Jesus is different from yesterday and today. So, I mean, who knows what Bible you're reading? So, stick from Acts of the Apostles then, and type in the word judge, judgment, and write down, go and read every scripture. It's very easy. You have a phone, have a laptop. Check it. Judgment is according to what you did, not according to what you believed, as you have been told. It's not five verses. It is overwhelming evidence. For you to ignore all of it and go with your favorite confused preacher will change nothing. I'm always saying this. It will change nothing. If you think you're going to stand there with great confidence, and then Jesus will say, I see you really have faith. Based on that, we change the rules because you really have faith. Comes from hearing the word of God. Where do you get your faith from? That's not faith. That presumption and foolishness. You ignored the words of the judge and the king. The king says you will be judged according to what he said. He promised you will be judged according to what you do. At the very end of the book of Revelation, I say, if you are holy, continue being holy. If you are unholy, continue. He's the first one that said continue. Some of these people are too young. Understand? See now, Revelation 22, verse 11. Let the unrighteous continue to be unrighteous. And the vile continue. There's no other verse with so many continues. to be vile. Let the righteous continue to practice of righteousness, and the holy continue to be holy. Continue. It's a function of what you keep doing. I explained, I think, on Sunday that it's a walk. It's not a one-time thing. It's a multitude of a con. It's what you call a continuum. Goes on like that. So if holiness, you're not holy for 3 weeks. And say, I tried. At least God will count it for me. Like I was taught in my Catholic Sunday school when I was a child. You know, if you do a lot of good things, some good things, and you do bad things, God will now count good. Yes, what you do matters. But you see, we are talking about giving your life to Christ is not what you do, it's what you believe. But we are not discussing the moment you came to Jesus. Why are you going to come to Jesus just before you come? It's what you did after you gave your life to Jesus. Did you follow him? Did you walk in righteousness? Were you following him? If you were following him, then you operate in the righteousness of Christ, who did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. You would do the same thing. You would obey him. You would understand what he meant in the spirit by his laws, and you'd obey them. As you would continue in them, that young ruler came to him, wealthy man, said, Lord, what must I do to inherit the kingdom? He told him, keep the law. He didn't come up with some fancy thing. He said, when the man said, I've kept them all my youth growing up, he said, one thing is lacking. Go and get rid of everything you have and come and follow me. Go from just believing the word, become a disciple, a follower, imitators in the Greek. And that's where the man, I have so much money. If I get rid of all my stuff and follow you, Kai. Doesn't mean God rejected him. Just means that he will not inherit. To inherit is a bit, is extra. Inherit is, here's your portion. He'll be told like the rich man, you know, you enjoyed your good things. So doesn't mean he goes into perdition or punishment. It just means he wanted more. He wanted an inheritance. You know, you can be an occupant of something that is not your inheritance. You understand someone owns this building? Or is it your inheritance? But are you in it? So an inheritance is more than an occupation. Okay. So an inheritance is ownership. You exercise rights of ownership over what you inherit. What you don't inherit, you can exercise some privilege within it or upon it. But your privilege is limited by the rights of the owner. Is this clear? So there are those that will be heirs. The Bible tells you of the Matthew 25, Luke 19, you know, says you inherit the kingdom, Matthew 25, you know, of your father prepared for you. You know, there's an inheritance that you have full rights to do upon it. You know, I have some inheritance. You know, I have a property in Calabasas, you know, and just some days ago I exercised rights of inheritance and collected rent. You cannot. Is it paying you? Go to your father. It's a right of inheritance. So I was given that property. Say, hey, here's this compound with this house. So I could go in there and renovate it. Long time ago, 1 year ago, too, I went and renovated. I did things on it. I didn't take permission. Please, daddy, can I put tiles? You can put tiles. Okay, can put tiles. Ask the tiles man, how much is that? Daddy, he said the that's not an inheritance. That is you're a tenant. An inheritance is, it's yours. Here, you're given. When it's yours, you can exercise right to right. It may be like yours, but it's not yours. I'm living in a property that is my brother's own by inheritance. It's not mine. Now, I've done things in it too. I've made it better and more convenient for living. Many things. If I was like some of you, I'll do nothing. I'll suffer like a thief. Because later on, your brother will come and take it. My younger brother, who is not here. You know, so some people wouldn't do anything. Me, I'm acting as though I'll live there forever. But in my mind, I'm conscious that if tomorrow, the places they are, which will get hot, they will run down, that I may have to tell my wife, darling, let's go. I tell my brother, let's calculate, you're owing me. and I carry my body, they come out. I know it's not mine by inheritance. So I can't tear, I can't increase the number of stories on it or do certain things. This is how an inheritance works. So Jesus, that fellow wanted to inherit, like he didn't want to just be there, he wanted to inherit. Jesus looked at him. Jesus gave him the first level. He said, go and keep the commandments. The Bible says, he said, I've done it already. The Bible says Jesus looked at him and loved him. It's like, oh, this might be one of the other categories. This was not going to be an occupant in the age to come. This is leadership material. This is one of the kings. For those who don't know, when he says Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, stop thinking of Jesus being King of Demons. Stop. He's King of Kings. He's the firstborn amongst many sons that are being called into glory. He's the King of Glory. There are many that will be called, it's what the Bible calls the manifestation of the sons of God. Jesus is the only unique, monogenic son of God, the unique son of God. But he's bringing many sons to glory. So those sons are not every born again Christian. Not at all. Not at all. It's the ruling class of the coming ages. This is all over your Bible again, just that most of the church does not know it at all and therefore cannot preach about it. We need eyes to see this one. So the Bible is clear. They will be occupants of the kingdom, Luke 19, Matthew 25, but they will be rulers of that age. So Jesus looked at that guy and went like, I think these are the ones you are looking for. Would you like to do that one? You must be my disciple. What's the qualification for disciple? It's not the same as qualification for a believer. To be a believer, you believe in your heart. To be a disciple, you must give up father, mother, brother, sister. It's a whole other list. So that fellow could not give it up. So he departed. This one is for accumulating treasure in heaven. He said, go and sell it. Mark 10, and give to the poor. It's a different, it's like the difference between having a writing jam and writing your PhD dissertation. It's a different thing. It's all in our school. Do you understand? All of it is a degree. All of it is a qualification. But this is a much higher qualification. So in the ages to come, that's this class here, the overcomer class. Those are the guys that resurrect in the first resurrection. They are the leadership class. They are the category that come out and lead the rest of the coming age. They will be kings and priests, and they will reign with him. Now, normal preaching, normal growing up till today, majority, almost every preacher is preaching the same thing. Revelation chapter 5, we are kings and priests. If everybody is a king, who are you a king over? Who are you a king over? Everybody is a king. You're a king over who? These guys are reigning on the earth. If you look at Revelation chapter 20, you see them. The Bible tells you they reign for 1,000 years and that the rest of the dead do not even rise from the dead. These are kings. These guys are in a class. Now, Christians, typical impatience, they took something that is in the future, brought it to the present and say, we are kings and priests now. Then you look at their life. They need water, money to buy soup. King and priest. The Bible says Jesus lowered himself, humbled himself to the point of becoming a man. And even not just a man, a servant. The price of Jesus' head, we shared it here some months ago, I showed you in the Bible, was the price of a servant. The price of a man, 20 years and above, is about 50 pieces of silver. They paid 30 pieces of silver for Jesus. That's the price of a servant. It's not a mistake. It wasn't just written there. He valued himself as a servant. That's why Isaiah called him all the time, my servant, my servant, my servant, my servant. The one who serves, my diakonia, my minister, the one who serves me. That was his price. If they had just paid differently, it would have been a whole different class. It wasn't paid. It's in the law, the price of people, price of a woman, price of a servant woman, price of a man, price of a little child 5 years below is a price for all. So it was deliberate. Specific. They paid a price for him. That's how he presented himself. That was the coming. The suffering servant. That was for that coming. For the next dimension when he comes. Why do you think Benjamin, they gave him 300 pieces of silver? That's 10 times. Benjamin is the son of the right hand. Benjamin, son. Ben, Yamin, right hand. Jesus, Benjamin is a picture of Jesus in his next coming. The last who becomes the first. That's why he tells you, I'm the first and I am the last. Benjamin is the last, but he's also the first. So when he came first, 30 pieces comes next, 300 pieces as the price on his head. That's when you've completed the work. That's when you've completed the work. The price of serving, the priest began to serve at 30 years of age. Christ Joseph ascends at 30. David ascends at 30. Jesus ascends at 30. No mistakes. It's the language of the Spirit. God is talking. God doesn't have to come and say, I'm talking. He's talking all the time. But you must have eyes to see between the lines. He's making strong statements. Pity the person who refuses to serve, who looks forward to glory. How? Where will you collect it? You didn't know what it meant to be a servant. You want to sit on a throne. Won't happen. Look at everybody that ascended to power at 30. Look at them. I just gave you three names. David, Jesus, Joseph. What do you find them doing before they are 30? All. One thing. One. Serving. The last time you hear of Jesus, he's submitted to his parents. Serving. Finding favor with God and man. David. Fathership, Joseph, Potiphar's house, and prison. They are faithful people. When the time comes for them to ascend the throne, Joseph couldn't come out of prison before 30. It would spoil the picture. There's a time for everything. And the wisdom of God teaches us how to maneuver during those times. The rich young ruler could not inherit because he could not pay the price of discipleship. He said, where my servant is, in the book of John, chapter what, 12? Where my servant is, where I am, my servant will be also. If any man serves me, my father will honor him. Okay? There's a price to pay. 12:26. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, my servant will be as well. If anyone serves me, the father will honor him. Have you seen that? There's service before there's honor. Humility precedes. The book of Proverbs tells you honor and riches. It's a humbling, a going down. Again, do not look forward to glory if you do not enjoy or embrace humble service. Do not look forward to it. One of the ways I know some preachers, they seem very, you know, successful, but they do not honor God. They are not humble. I don't look forward, oh yeah, you know, I remember many, many years ago, very popular, maybe one of the most popular evangelists on earth, you know, and my family sitting in the parlor. Or we're walking past, anyways, you know, many, 20 years ago, more than 20 years ago. But a sister of mine says, this kind of person, the kind of reward waiting for them. And I look at her and go, no, it doesn't work like that at all. That's not what will happen. You don't look at how someone seems to be successful on earth, the crowds they draw. Never. That's upside down. People are constantly not reading their Bibles carefully. That's just wrong. Mm-mm. Someone can operate in the gifts of the Spirit. Great things can happen here. And Matthew 7 is his portion. Lord, in your name I cast out demons. I prophesied. I did many great miracles or projects. And the Lord says, I don't know you. Depart from me. And he tells you why. You're a lawlessness worker. You're a worker of lawlessness. King James says iniquity. The word anomia means lawlessness. One who ignores the law of God. Doesn't matter the crowds. It doesn't matter the miracles. It doesn't even matter. Why? Because God doesn't judge you for his gifts, which he gave you. So I was trying to explain to the sister, I said, hey, if they gave you a gift to draw people, when you stand and speak, people are drawn to you. You have an evangelistic gift. Again, I always say this, pity people with gifts. Pity them. Pity the man. Listen. There's a man. Listen. He does not have a vehicle. He goes to work. He's not wealthy, really. He doesn't have money to have a side chick. In fact, he doesn't have money to even have a chick. He doesn't have money to maintain a woman. And because of that, he's less tempted. And girls are less tempted to come near him. He does not suffer from Jezebelian attraction. Girls are not coming after him. Hey, good afternoon, sir. He doesn't get unnecessarily polite greetings and help. You know, the girls in the compound do not come around. Please, sir, is this your day? Well done, sir. I just came to greet. No, because they look at him. See, when he arrived from work, you know, you can see he has walked long. The shoes have a tell to tell. The dust on those shoes during dry season, especially, is really a loud sound. So he can go to church and come back, go to work and come back with minimal temptation, very highly reduced temptation. You know, they speak against him behind. Look at poor man. They ask him things like, neighbor, when are you packing? So he's less tempted, and therefore he's less prone to be tempted to fall into immorality, yes? But in this world we live in, okay, you're going to sit down and admire the man with the air-conditioned car, tinted glasses, boom, boom, pop, music. Yes? And he drives, and wherever he goes, when he pulls over to buy corn, you know, or he's just passing, and girl says, excuse me, are you going this way? You know, people that were not going anywhere will be pointing directions. But again, they are just open-minded. I saw a video, real video, all of these things where they are hiding a camera somewhere. And the guy comes out looking somehow and acting anyhow. And he tells two girls by the side of the road who are obviously waiting for any man to show up. Say, hey, would you like to, you know, go out with me or something? And the girls say, no, what for? This and that. Well, they treat him like trash. And then he walks away and then turns around and goes and stands by one exotic car like this, you know, beep, beep, you know, and open. And the girls move down and say, ah, is this yours? You know, and then they begin a whole conversation. They begin a whole conversation and he begins to talk to them. And he allows them to enter the car. And there's some camera hidden there, you know, and he's talking. And they're talking price and all that. I don't know if he say don't give them anything or something. Or whatever. After a while, he pulls out and says, get out of my car. After all, you people, you didn't have money. Get out of my car. Now, I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm not saying he's a Christian man. He's a silly man, of course. But that's real life. He's the same man. They saw him as he walked away from them. You know, either entered a store, then walked back. They couldn't believe. Now, he purposely kept that car to catch this video. It was purposely kept it after as they came from somewhere else. And then, you know, they called them gold diggers. It's a real thing. Why did their attitude change? Why were they now smiling and doing all of that? It's what it is. It's real life. It's the real deal. It's the state of the human heart. So the man that says, if only God will give him money, if only God will give him money, if only God will give him money. Are you sure that's a good thing? Are you very sure that will make it more possible for you to see Jesus? Because it may be the only reason you don't see Jesus. Everything that seems like an advantage in this world, your looks, male and female, money, brain, three major things. It can be your greatest curse. Those three things, your greatest curse. It can be your guarantee of destruction. Those three things. But it's the three things the people of the world and most of God's children run after crazily. Many of God's servants preach as though it's an advantage. Are you sure it is an advantage? That you're so intelligent? Are you sure? And you like to show off that you're intelligent. So you're admired. Next thing, girls are throwing themselves on you in class. Visiting you unnecessarily. Meanwhile, if you're just in between or slightly dull, nobody would have had your time. Because you're struggling to even understand what they... Not someone who said it's like fire. The girls will come around. Be unnecessarily nice. Now you're tempted. Now she wants to be your reading partner. And now she knows she has competition. How does she hook the reading partner to be her reading partner? Is it what? Talk? Except she has cash. But if she doesn't have cash, what next? What? Someone said body here. Or is it a smile? What would they use and keep you? You belong to me. Private tutor. Yeah, so you've entered, waiting, put you for trouble. Is it not your brains? Your brains have put you in trouble. Now you're in extra trouble. You would have not been kept, nobody, all those girls would have looked at you, chaff guy. You would have passed it. Now you're a chaff, correct guy. You don't dress well, but who cares? Is it dressing? So it's like having money. That's the ultimate. I don't need to talk about that again. Talk about it on Sunday. If you went here on Sunday, listen to Sunday's message. It began to talk about leprosy. We'll continue today. We'll continue on Friday, hopefully. You know, and leprosy are the things that are the beginnings of death in the human nature, flesh, that attract further destruction, except you are healed. Before we are done with this series, we look at how to be healed. We look at the causes of leprosy How do you get afflicted with spiritual leprosy? How do you get healed from spiritual leprosy? The different people in the Bible, how were they healed from it? Identify, do you have spiritual leprosy? Should you be outside the camp of the Lord? Look at Revelation chapter 20, verse, I read just verse 7. I'd like you to read for me verse 7 to 9.
When the 1,000 years are complete, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations at the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to assemble them for battle.
Read, everyone, next verse.
Their number
number is like the sound of the seashore, verse 9, everyone.
And they marched across the broad expanse of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints.
What did they surround?
The camp of the saints.
And?
The beloved city.
The camp of the saints is the? Oh, come on. The camp of the saints is the? Okay. Some of you now agree it is the same thing. Okay. The camp of the saints and the? It's okay. It's okay. Let's not fight about this. That's what I brought you here to see. What happened? But fire came down from heaven and consumed them. Who did fire come down from heaven and consume? The army of Satan. Do you agree? It was the army led by Satan. What did they surround? What did they go to attack? The camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came and consumed them. Go back to Numbers 5, verse 3. I want you to see. I say I want to give a panoramic view. You must send away male and female. Send them outside the camp so they will not defile their camp where I dwell among them. I don't want to go on reading. When you go back, you can go and read chapter 21, 22 of the book of Revelations, and you will see that the city of God, the Lamb of God, was within it. Are you seeing the shadow of the camp in the future? That the Lord already was saying, don't do anyhow. Do not do anyhow in my city. Now, let me show you leprosy just briefly. So when we go back and start studying, you don't say, this leprosy talk does not apply to me. Let's be sure it does. It may never apply to you. Let's be sure. Some of you, you already have leprosy. I can assert clearly. And you need to be cleansed. Some of you may be attacked by leprosy in the future. Some of you are being cleansed from leprosy. Whatever it is, you must know, does this message I am hearing concern me? You know, we'll be thinking of how to put out the topic on this thing, leprosy. How many Christians do you know will pick up a message titled leprosy? How many people? They in your mind, no, you want to, how to make it 2024, how to be rich, how to stand out, to be foremost. But leprosy will disqualify you from all those things you're running after. Because the children of God do not have a habit of eating the lamb with its bones. They skip. You must take in all of the word of God. The things that were written for our learning. They were not written for other people. They were written for us. Romans 15:4 says it was written for us. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 11 says it was written for us as a warning. These things were written in the past for our instruction. What happens when we refuse to think that things that were written were for our instruction? You think it's for someone else. I always say this in case there's someone here who today is the only day you'll come. After now, you're like, please, I'm not ready. I don't even understand what they're saying. Leprosy, I'm not coming again. Please, I always give you a takeaway. Please, for those of you coming back, don't let those that will not come back. Please, it's okay. God help you, bless you. But let me give you something to take. When you go, at least remember this. Some scriptures. First Romans 15:4, 1 Corinthians 10:11. Remember whenever you're reading your Bible, long after you're gone, that the things that were written for your instruction, not for nobody. The things that were written in the past. Was Leviticus written in the past? Was Numbers written in the past? It is for your instruction. Go to 1 Corinthians 10:11. They were written down as Look. They were written down as
warnings.
Look, some of you didn't still see it. Look at that. They were written down as
warnings for us.
Warnings for us. Who is us? Read. On whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. That makes it very specific. The fulfillment, the age of chaos, the age of Passover, the age of Pentecost. We are about to enter the age of tabernacles. God with us, Emmanuel, God with us, the Lord dwelling, tabernacling amongst us, dwell amongst them, walk amongst them, I'll be their God, they'll be my children. That time is coming. These are ages of the dealings of God. It's coming to the fulfillment, the 7 week, 7 days of God. Leviticus was written. Numbers was written for us who are at the fulfillment. That's the fulfillment of something, is the end of something. The upon whom the end, some translations say the end of the ages have come. God operates in ages. So please, 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 ensure that you understand that scriptures were not written for some people and not for you. It was written for us more than it has been written for any generation. This is why we study it. This is why we take the time. You can't study this in a drive-by. No, you have to stop. Pay attention. Ask the Holy Spirit, teach me. Keep company with those who have understanding. Be willing to learn. You won't like some of what you learn, but it is what it is. It can be tough. You eat the lamb, Jesus, with bitter herbs. Bitter herbs. The Bible says you eat all of it. You don't skip. You don't say, I don't like bitter things. There's a bitter part of Christianity, and the bitter part of walking in Jesus includes the fact that there's a camp of the people of God, and if you defile it, who has read it before in 1 Corinthians, that if any man destroys my body, have you heard before where God said he and 1 Corinthians 3, do you hear him say he'll destroy you? Have you read before that if any man, you defile my body, the temple of God, 1 Corinthians 3:17. You want to read it together? Once you go.
If any man defile the temple of God,
him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Are you seeing it come together? Are you seeing why I say remove them from the camp? Because if you defile it, he's saying, I will destroy you. In your mind, you're going to say, no, it doesn't matter. I mean, you look at people and you know, ah, I'm a preacher, I'm a servant of God. You stumble into sin. Brother, you stumbled into sin, or you're living in sin. You found that this thing, it wasn't a one-time thing. You confessed it to your wife, preacher man. No, you didn't confess it to your wife. You hid it. And then it happened again. Then it happened again. It happened again. Then the show must go on. You keep preaching. You keep preaching. You keep preaching. You keep 1 year later, 2 years later, 5 years later, there are 8 girls involved. In different. No, the shame will be too much. You know you're not a believer, right? Because the God, you have a God guarantee, I will destroy you. It's not that I'll destroy your name and your ministry. I'll destroy you. You have ensured that the maker of heaven and earth will destroy you. You have guaranteed it. Your mind, no. You see how it is. See, once you repent, that's not how it works. Do you think God is a liar? Let God betray every man a liar. So whatever you're saying will happen, he'll still destroy you. He can destroy you and restore you. Yes. You have not read about the temple in Jerusalem? Did he destroy it? Did he rebuild it? Did he destroy it again? You're not sure? Did Jesus show up and look at Solomon's temple, Herod's temple, and they say 46 years they built it? And he went, yay! Nice. What did he say? Did Jesus used to go to that temple? Did they defile it? Were they doing business in it? Was it a business center? Did he try his best? Did I show you that that place is as big as multiple stadium? A stadium. Oh, come on. There's never enough time to say all we have to say. The temple courts were massive. Can you picture the millions of people? They came from around the world to celebrate the feast. They all squeezed in. It was massive. The size of about 14 stadia. You didn't hear me. Have you seen a stadium before? Picture 14. The Bible says Jesus drove them out from the court. He removed, you know, in the films, he does, hey. People ran small. They scattered a few things. The problem is, if they want to show you Jesus driving them out of the temple, the film will finish. Did you understand me? Do I have one person that understands me? Every time the Lord would teach me something, when you understand the scripture, your mind explodes. In other words, presume Jesus spent maybe 2 hours, 3, driving them out. It wasn't sharp, sharp. No. He took his time. Leave. He poured their money. He caused chaos in that place. That place is so big. I don't know how long it took to drive them out. He drove them out. I've showed you. He did not pick a king. The Bible says he made the king. He made it. He picked pieces and was weaving koboko. Peter Ho. There's complete, the lawyers call it menswear. Eh? Actus rea is the act of doing. Mens is the intention to do. It wasn't. Wait a minute! Wait a minute! Yoruba! No! He took his time. He was planned. Madam, how much I send this letter? Give me 3 pieces. Judas, pay. And behold. He made it. He make it. It's not casual. Right now, he's making. Oh, you don't understand. You will. I've told you, you will. Everybody on earth will be a believer. There's nobody. None of you here. There's none of you here. This thing you say. There's nobody you know. You see, all your friends are unbelievers. Everybody will be a believer. Everybody will say Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every knee will bow. There's nobody. Jesus is loading his cane. And they will say your flogging is loading. You think it's a joke? Everything Jesus did before, you do again. There's nothing. All of it, he did example. He said, let me do illustration. Have you done maths? Do you have maths textbook? Yeah. You saw how they pick all the easy things and answered.
Yeah.
2 examples, have you?
Yeah.
Then they forget the example they gave us. Set 10 hard questions. God will forgive all those.
Yeah.
General maths. It's just that the Lord Jesus is the same. His example. Have you read the book of Revelation before? Have you read the book of Revelation before?
Yes,
when you read it, how did you feel? How did you feel? That's the final exam. Jesus is loading his cane, pulling. When he started, that was a tiny instruction. Illustration of the Lord cleansing his body, his camp, his house. It was like you have made it a den of thieves. I remove you. And he laid it in. Come on, release these birds. Holy Ghost is for free. Stop chatting. Were they not doves?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't. Let's stop. We need to study leprosy. Let's study leprosy. All that nonsense. Say, oh, there's an anointing. There's an anointing. There's an anointing. You know. If you have take 100,000, there's a group of Jesus is coming. Wait now, nah, if they come, you're selling doves or selling anointing. Can it work? Can you lay hands and it works? Yes. Yes. Can you pray for special people and special things happen? Before I was a man of God, I used to hear and say, oh, nonsense. It's true. It's true. I'm not sold, but I'm saying it's true. You can point anointing, you can point grace in a direction and give it. And refuse to give it to others. So your heart is like, you don't make me happy, so I impart nothing. You make me happy, so I impart happily. You give solid offerings. People just feel like praying for you. It is what it is. I'm not saying it's bad, okay? Think Elisha, okay? Think Elijah, all right? The woman gives him a house, he's there. Some just gratitude. What do you need? It's not wrong, okay? But I mean when there's a gathering of barren women and you say, those with a seed, come here. Do you understand this? What is that? What is that? There's a gathering of barren women, 50 barren women gather. And then you look at the ones that say, if you have up to 50 mina, come stand to my right. Come, the Lord is saying that there are 20 people that will have a new testimony. We take it as this. It's okay. No, you're a merchant and Jesus is coming. And this time when he comes, you know that time he had to still die. You know if you do overdo, they will not kill you. Jesus, even though he drove them out, but he still had to be humble. They killed him some days after. You guys, you don't even understand how far they took him out. Like, this man was for business. You know he could have fought back. Just when he introduced himself. Are you Jesus, son of God? So they didn't know. Didn't they have a sign when the one I kissed? Didn't they know? What were they asking? Some of you don't know Bible. When I say things, you don't even know what I'm talking about. Excuse me. Did Judas not give them a sign? The one I'll greet and kiss. Why did they ask him again, are you Jesus of Nazareth? What? Are you blind? Didn't your spy show you the way? He now answered, not by mistake. He said, I am. The Bible says they fell down. He had to encourage them to arrest him. The Bible says, it is me you're looking for. Allow these ones to go. In my mind, I can see him putting forth his hand so they will tie him. He had to encourage them. Then Peter almost discouraged them again. He rebuked him. Made sure he healed the guy so there will not be an incident. You know, let go. Carry me. Because he had said to his father, you must die. If Jesus came to die and was still so offended when they defiled the courts that represented his house, what do you think is happening next time when he comes and there's no dying this time, there's none of that. This time he's coming to judge the world. What do you think will happen? It's the book of Revelation. You should read it. It is so devastating. The majority of people on a massive number of people on earth die. Portions of the earth are just because Jesus is coming. But remember 1 Peter 4, he said he will start in his church. And what is starting? What's this series of meetings we are doing right now? We are studying leprosy and how to not be on the wrong side of God's camp. Do not be on the wrong side of God. Common sense should tell you, don't be on the wrong side of God. I come to my house, you've defiled it, I will destroy you. He didn't destroy those people, he just chased them out. He destroyed some of their business. He didn't destroy them. He promises he will destroy. I pity the child of God. I pity even more the servant of God, who thinks you can do what you like in the house of God. You don't fear the honor because you don't know the honor. When the honor comes, he's not coming to say grace. He's coming to say justice. He's not coming to say kindness. Grace means favor. He's not coming to say favor to you. This 2,000-year period has been the period of favor. At the end of the 2 days, on the third day, he will raise us up to live in his sight. But before the third day, in the second day, he tells you what you've been. Hosea chapter 3 or chapter 6. He says, God has struck us. He will bind us up. There's going to be a striking. Who do you strike? Proverbs 19. You strike a fool. The back of a fool is prepared for striking. So the striking's coming. I believe Psalm 104 says, let a righteous man strike me. The Lord is coming as the righteous man. He's going to strike. He said, you'll be like oil on my head. Say, Aurora, anointing. You want anointing? Let them strike you. Psalm 141 verse 5. Let the righteous man strike me. Let his rebuke be an act of loving devotion. Read. It is oil for my head. Let me not refuse it. For my prayer is ever against the deeds of the wicked. So he prays against the actions of the wicked. Therefore, if he begins to manifest the actions of the wicked, he's permitting that he should be struck by the righteous man. Jesus is the righteous one. So when he comes to his people and they are manifesting acts of wickedness, he shows them kindness by doing what? By striking them. Can you see the ways of God? May you embrace it. May you embrace the ways of God. Those who hate, if you hate the ways of God, it won't end well with you. It is far better the Lord strikes you. That means he said it will be an act of loving devotion. That means he has not given up on you. If the Lord doesn't strike, I've preached it. I barely preach it anymore because I'm preaching other things. You sin and you get away with it. Weep, fast, pray, and ask God if you're the worst person. Beg him to exercise acts of ownership over your life. How you know God loves you? You goof. They cack, they beat. Bad things happen to you. You goof, you get it. Anybody here? Rejoice and be glad. You goof, you get away. You goof, you get away. You mean it, all sorts of things you do, nothing happens. Sorry. Who do you like this? You pound a baby. Why? Nothing ever happens. They don't cut. Nothing ever happens. No consequence. According to the book of Hebrews chapter 12, you're a bastard. Bible says you're a bastard. Newer translation says you are an illegitimate child. That those are children that have no discipline. Hebrews 6, 12. We read from verse 6, but fine. This is verse 8. Says it. If you do not experience discipline like everyone else, then you're an illegitimate children, not true sons. If you don't get discipline, if you misdo successfully. You're constantly successful. Nobody catches you. No shame, no embarrassment. Sorry. Weep. Fast and pray for days. And beg God, please. Because it means he has left you alone. He has left you alone. It means your case is closed. You're gone. When God loves you, you can't get away too much. I don't mean the other type of where you think a car will hit you and you die. Mm-mm, some of you, that's what you think. No, not that type. Just a few things here and there. Just showing signs of you, this child, as though they grab you by the ear. Just small signs. I kissed a girl many years ago. I'm doing my project. The typist, I cough. She said, first time I've kissed in forever, maybe in my life. The typist in my supervisor's office said, your girlfriend gave you cough. Hey! Of course, you go like, mind yourself. Inside your mind, Jesus. In another city, this girl, do I know you? You get away with all kinds of evil, wrongdoing. Sorry. Even me, I feel for you. I feel very deeply for you. You should rejoice. God, they caught me. Thank you, Jesus. Now I know you love me. Thank you. I heard someone misbehave. They beat. It's not one. We've heard these stories. Clear signs of ownership. God is like, with whose body? Do you know that's all God is saying? He said, with whose body? With whose body? Come here. With whose body? I live here. God is saying, I live here. I'll destroy. I live here. But when you do anything, nobody shows up. Holy conscience. Nothing. Like so. It's like the spirit realm says so. Weep. I am not playing. So if you've been feeling me, I get away with all sorts of things. God really loves me. I think your God is mixed up. Maybe the devil is your God. If God the Father is your God, he promised that if you mess with my property, my temple, I mess with it. So if you mess with your body and there's zero effect, there's zero stress, there's zero, something is really bad. You better spend quality time seeking a restoration of relationship. You're not supposed to get away with it. You're not. If you kick your leg, you almost break it. Something. If you like purposely kick your leg, you know that pain plus sin is not nice. You don't make punishment happen. You don't make discipline. But to say there's no discipline is Hebrews an Old Testament book on it. Because I know someone thinks I'm reading the book of Jeremiah. What is this man preaching? Putting people in fear. Don't fear. You will fear. All your fear, they are packing it to keep it. You fear it at once. It's called the lake of fire. I'm spreading out my fear. I've been spreading out my fear for years. You know when you spread out fear? How many of you know if they spread out flogging? They are going to give you 24. But they flog you over a 2-year period. Do you know that's one stroke a month? Do you like that? Some people, you're packing all your 24 strokes, you're putting it in a 10 minute portion. God, the lake of fire, they pack all. You seem to get away with all sorts of things. Just get ready. It's called the lake of fire. Can you smell? That's frying flesh. I would rather God gives me as I need it. I collect. Ow! How many did they used to knock you? But you know, it's usually one. You collect one. It has an accompaniment like salad. You, this child. Especially if it's a woman. Men don't say that much. Boom! How many of you prefer knock to flog? Flog used to be more, sometimes more. Knock tended to be igbaga. It's over. You weave around like that, but it's over. Flogging, you have no idea of where it's going. Come here. And some of you had parents who used to lock door. Sorry for the trauma. Sorry. Thank God my parents didn't like that at all. You know. So sometimes it's better one just spaced out according to your foolishness. Not the one that they will pile. Say, I've been waiting for it. I'll deal with you. Don't allow God plan for you. Oh God, please. God, feel free. I'm your child, though. Heaven, remember, I'm your child, though. Remember, please. Is it like nobody cares what I do there? Some of you, you pray wrong prayers. Kneel there every morning. In the morning, what are you praying? When did they beat you last? Have you not misdone enough to deserve a beating? How many of you know that when you don't, who knows? Hey, let's be real. The love of Jesus, the love of Jesus, the love of Jesus. This is why I like God, though. It is me. Now, to keep quiet. Because some of you now deserve something. How many of you know that I know some of you are like impossible because of your an abusive situation? But still, how many of you know that when you carry your body and go and report yourself that you broke another one? That it's with great fear and trepidation. But things happen, but it's always less than when they catch you. Let me teach you wisdom. Let me teach you wisdom. Because some of you don't have it. Be carrying yourself to all this. Ain't God, if it's bad, God will talk to me. Who has said foolishness like that before? Who has said people say stupid things? Did you ask him? Didn't the Bible say it's bad? If it's bad, God will tell you. If I was here, I'll kneel down in the morning, early in the morning. In the morning, I will rise and report myself. Lord, I want to acknowledge that I have. You know what? I don't need to tell you. Tell him. Say it in a sentence. I committed, I took, I stole, I said, I lied. Say it. Please forgive me. Amen. But some of us, we beg for forgiveness. Usually when we say, we beg for forgiveness too hard. Sometimes, what you should pray is, Father, help me to be your child. Let your will be done in my life. Sometimes, no, your God, please, nothing. Please. So you beg till every time you remove his hand. You know you're going to grow up without being disciplined. Do you know what happens to children that are not disciplined? They tend to be fearless. Do you know what fearlessness does to people? They do very big and bad things that put them in prison or take their life. That's what I mean. You accumulate, but it's better. You pray like Jesus, Lord, not my will, but yours. Because you can beg God and he shifts things. And he, okay. I don't have a problem in begging. I beg God. Don't beg every time. It's not, learn to pray, not my will, but yours. In case he wants to flog you. Do you know Jesus was about to die for what he did not do? Yes or no? Did Jesus beg till the Father agreed? You did not hear him tell Peter, if I ask for 12 legions of angels now, my Father will give me. Why didn't he ask? Talk to me. Why did he not ask? He can ask and collect soldiers. He did not ask and collect angelic soldiers. Why? For those that have been taught anything you want, just ask God. Are you sure you should? I told you 1999 or year 2000, I saw Ezekiel 14, where the Bible says, that you can come in front of God and pray, and he gives you what you want. Then you go behind and stand and destroy you. And then he showed me Balaam. Balaam said, Lord, should I go? God said, go. Then sent an assassin angel. You kill this guy. Kill him. If not for a donkey, a dotting donkey, who later became a talking donkey. That guy would have been dead. He still died later because he didn't repent. Greed was his leprosy. Greed. God told Balaam the first time, don't go. He heard till they sent more powerful government officials. Instead of saying, I won't go, God said I shouldn't go. He told them, wait overnight. There's 5-star. You can stay there and all that. I'll consult God tomorrow. I'll tell you the answer. Was the first answer not clear? It was super clear. They promised him all sorts of things, and he did how some preachers did in public. He said, even if you promise me all the money on earth, we are called to preach the kingdom. Then the next week, they give them one very small fraction of the money on earth. And what they preach is not the kingdom. You know, some of you think that the more a preacher makes claims that he doesn't do something, it means he doesn't do it. The longer I've lived, the more I find out that anybody can say anything. If you understand, you understand. Some of you don't need to understand. Some of you think that because someone stands and says, we are free to preach the gospel without cost, then they leave there and tax you as though death is around the door. Saying it does not mean you're not guilty. That was Balaam. The classic, say one thing, do another thing. Even if you offer me a house full of silver and gold, I will not. The Bible tells you after the whole incident where he blessed Israel, he went behind and told them, come. You can't kill them through direct divination or curses. You kill them through defiling them. Their God will kill them. The Bible tells you in Numbers 30, when God sent Moses, said, avenge me of the Midianites. They killed Balaam. He was there in their midst. He's the one, the book of Revelation tells you, Jesus said that Balaam is the one that told them how to destroy Israel. He used his gifting, his knowledge, and still destroyed Israel. He couldn't do it directly by crossing because he was afraid of God at that moment. But his greed, like Gehazi, these are the purveyors of leprosy. Eats you up inside. How can I gain from this? 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 A man's gift makes room for him. It's not easy to be a man of God. Don't be a man of God except you're called to be. And before you become one, you better die to your desire for things. You better die. Die. Because one of the easiest ways to be destroyed by God is by becoming a man of God, a Balaam with giftings. The one who sees visions with his eyes open. Have you seen Balaam's intro? Have you seen his intro? He doesn't close his eyes and go, shit. It's like this. You there. He flows with his eyes open. There's no dragging. God killed him. A prophecy of a man whose eyes are open. He says his eyes are open. Prophecy of one who hears the words of God. Who sees a vision from the Almighty. Who bows down with eyes wide open. Numbers 24:4. His intro is not a joke. The guy was gifted. Meaning what? God hated him. Some people always say, I want power. You want power for what? It will kill you quickly. What money is in the physical and intelligence and good looks is what giftings are in the spirit. Did you hear me? In the spirit realm, in the realm I live, power is probably your greatest danger. If you don't learn to walk in power and walk in humility, which is so hard. So many servants of God have overcome many things. What they couldn't overcome was power. Power is intoxicating. My God. When it starts flowing, you wish you could go on. I've said in this house for years, you want to blow up in number? Let us have one of those meetings where the power of God starts moving. Then have 30 days of that. When you're done, you have 10,000 new members. Just don't stop because anything you keep stirring up keeps being stirred up. How many of you know the more you stir, the more steam it rises? Just keep it going, keep it going, keep it going, keep it going. Don't stop. 30 days. Worship. Just mix it. Keep preaching. Keep praying. It will be non-stop. Non-stop. It won't stop. When it's done, the more you push it. The question is this. God will ask you, did I tell you to stir this water as silver? When did I tell you to keep stirring? I choose to show up. And I say this from a place of authority. I'm saying from a place of knowing. Again, you're a church member. You've seen it very, very many times. The presence of God shows up. It shows up. It shows up all over the room. It shows up in the room. It shows up across states and countries. It shows up. It's hitting. Yeah. You know, I almost never lay hands on anybody when the power of God knocks them down. It's knocking you down left, right, and center. All you have to do is have a meeting the next day. And the next, and the next, and the next, and the next. And the thing will heat up till there's a conflagration. Your name will go far and wide. There's one question. Abia, who told you to do it? Why did you do it? God, is it not you that was moving? Is it Juju? Is it not you? Did I put my hand in anything? That's not how it works. Jesus can call 12 legions of angels or not. He can ask for it or not. You can choose. The question is, what was in your heart when you demanded that this thing go on? What's in your heart? So over the years, when you would see us, we'd have a meeting, normal meeting. I mean, any kind, morning, Sunday, evening, Wednesday. It could be any day. And the presence of God would show up in power. Why do you think very normal? Almost every time that kind of thing happens, thereafter, we are going to have, by God's grace, some very dry meetings. That's to chase away all those people that came when they invited their friends to come and see power. Yeah. What I spent 30 years learning before I began ministry, 32 years, You think I'll come and join the list of carcasses. That's why, again, I tell people, try not to start ministry too early. You die young. You don't know what you're doing. And by die young, I don't mean physical death. That's the least death you should fear. It's spiritual death. Because you're going to make a name for yourself. And then the Lord will tell you, I don't know you. So what's the use? You must believe. Jesus would finish feeding people, thousands of people with bread. The next day, they bring their relatives and neighbors. Jesus tells them, if you eat my flesh and drink, you want to eat bread? My flesh is my blood. My bread, the bread. My blood is wine. If you eat it, you live forever. We haven't read John 6, read it. He says it 3 times. The more they ask and complain, what are you saying? The more he says it. Talk about putting salt in an open wound. He rubs it in. Till his disciples that invited them left with them. The Bible says everybody leaves. Jesus turns to the 12 and says, you're still here. How do you drive away thousands of people that came based on yesterday's meeting? From the time they greeted him and said, there was only one boat. We saw your disciples leave. How did you also get there with them? Instead of saying, oh, I walked on water. He says, I know why you came here, for food. He did everything. When he was done, nobody was left. Even he tried to drive away Judas. He said, one of these is a devil. Judas, you know, old criminals. He said everything. So Judas taking a cue, joining the other disciples. Not the crowd. The crowd left. His disciples left. Because he kept saying that they must eat his flesh and drink his blood. Now one chop. Now one chop. One chop. One chop. He insisted from that time on, verse 66, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. No longer. He made sure they left. That's Jesus. Who is your master? Because this is the one that trained me on. This is who taught me ministry. Power will move. The next day will be as dry as a dead man's bone that was found in the desert. Sand. I never cared. I know I felt it briefly, like, God, my family members are here. But with time, I started enjoying it. In fact, when I see some people come, and in my mind, I'm just like, these people will make this meeting dry now. The meeting will feel so dry. My throat is dry. Everything is dry. But I'm never bothered. It's just to make sure some people don't come back. It's a guarantee. Then after they are gone, 2 days later, the glory falls. I learned not to feel bad about not feeling man of Godish at all. Be as ordinary as possible. Thereafter, try, mix it. Let me teach you how to be a man of God that will survive. Mix your, when the anointing comes on you and the gifts, the graces, God is whispering in your ear, telling you things. Right now, there's somebody, you know, I heard someone's testimony when I was away. How did I hear it? Okay, well, you know I'm not here when they're giving testimony, so I don't know. Hundreds or thousands of testimonies that have been given, I haven't heard it because I wasn't here physically. Deliberately, I'm not here when they are giving testimonies. It helps my head to stay low. But also, amongst the other reasons that, forget that. My point is, so I remember preaching one day, you know, it's not that long, some months ago. And I said, God is healing a tympanic membrane. Yes, no, anybody remember? I said, tympanic membrane. I mean, it's inside here. Uh-huh. And then, who is that brother that was healed? Where? What's the person? What's that his name? Let's face the other. Abasi Freke. He's not here. Okay, maybe it's in the overflow. And someone got healed. I'm sure you heard his testimony, right? Most of you heard someone say that he used to have a pain in his ear for how long? For many years. And, you know, he didn't, now the bigger testimony is that he don't trust men of God and all of that based on things he has seen happened with men of God in his past and all that. So that he didn't. So even as he was here, I used to see his face and wonder who kidnapped this guy and brought him here. Who is doing this? Who tied this guy? Who forced this guy to come? How much are they paying him to come and sit here? He looks very unhappy. I see, Frankie, if you're watching, well done. So, but the point is, that's how. Anyways, now I didn't know for weeks or months because I never follow up. I never ask who is that when I'm preaching. When the Holy Spirit, I never stop and say who is that? Who is the person you're here with? I don't do that. But I know when you do it, it makes you look powerful. I don't want people to fall out. There are these small cues that make you, you know, Yes, the Spirit is moving, you know. Most times, I know where the Spirit of God is going to hit, you know. Sometimes, if you happen to have your eyes open, you might see me looking towards an area. Very soon, something will happen there, and there, and there. But I never, ever, I've never stopped and said, I send the Spirit of God there. Good men of God do it, but I don't do it. I want to live long in the will of God. See, the more powerful you look, the more trouble you're in. Power is a dangerous thing. Power is like electricity. It may shock the person generating it. So, and it has taken out many over the millennia. Power is a killer. Power is a killer. Angels have to beg Elijah, don't kill them again. Power, fire burning. Bah, 51 men dead. Man of God, come down now. The king, fire burning. 51 men dead. That's 102 men dead. Dead one comes on his knees. I beg you. Angel says, I see humility before favor. There's humility. He has shown humility. Go with them. Don't be afraid. Go with them. That's how those guys went home. But the man of God, oh, fire, boy, fire, thunder. Well, I don't know why I said it. I don't know how he said it. I wasn't there, but he involved fire. By being a man of God, it's called authority. You can use it. You can abuse it. It's real. Some people think that it's not real. It's always boasting, empty-mouthed. No. Power is real. You can cause great havoc under the anointing. You can cause great havoc. You can destroy life. A servant of God was told, another man of God spoke against you. He said, that man, his ministry is not going anywhere. The Holy Spirit spoke to him immediately. He said, you just ended that man's ministry. This is someone we are not, but under the unction that was on him, carry over anointing that he just finished with it. He said, you just ended someone's ministry. For the number of words, he said something. His ministry is going nowhere. He said 5 words. He said, the number of words you spoke, you'll be sick for that long. He was sick for 5 months. He said 5 words. He was sick for 5 months. He said, the next time you do that, I'll take you off the earth. You're wondering, how does that work? It's because he loved God and was very dedicated to God. That's why God even told him. Normally, you won't even know. The man of God died. You just say, have you heard this servant of God died? It's because he abused power. He ought to have known better. He told him, no, he spoke against you. So is there a reason to curse his ministry? He just cursed his ministry to death. You can't just do things. Then I hear servants of God that boast about destroying things. There are times God will tell you to call fire on something. Yes, there are times. But ask yourself, was it God? So power, again, can you see why you need to take time? Can you picture Joseph without being healed from his grudge? Can you picture Joseph? Joe? You people, your spies, eh? Uh-huh. You don't know why he's laughing. All of them finished. That's power. That's authority. You can cause the greatest pain. So God may want to work on you for a good while before he allows you to step into authority. In between there, you may see small manifestations of that authority. It doesn't mean you should exploit it like many people do. I stepped out a little. There was manifestation. I went out today. This happened. Is that okay? All right. Well done, David. So Goliath is dead. Okay. Go and take care of the sheep. You do know that's what happened after he killed Goliath, right? You know, he went back to take care of his father's sheep. Some of you like, Papa. Yeah, you're dead. Bros, you dead. Because, you know, you've ascended. You'll be treating me as I'm a young boy. I encourage you to be a young boy as long as possible. I am begging you with a small wisdom I've collected. Be nothing. Be nothing as long as you can possibly be. Because when you become something, God gives you authority. You can do bad things though. That's why Paul said that the authority I've been given is to bless, not to destroy. But if he chose to destroy, it could cause great havoc. If he cursed the church, if he cursed a person, if he spoke against, why do you think Jesus is hanging on the cross and saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? Let me help you. It's not just a general blessing. It is the Son of God Almighty and the rights of someone who has been treated unfairly. People in your villages that did not know Jesus, were killed wrongfully, and as they were dying, they placed curses that have held your villages, latched onto your great grandfather, and is still disturbing you. People who did not know God lay curses. A curse with a curse comes to be. How much more someone with divine authority laying a curse on you? That is dangerous on a plane. You don't want to know. So Jesus had to actively reverse. Now ask yourself, did they still pull down the temple? Yes. Did they still slaughter those Jews? Less than 40 years later, the Romans invaded that place, slaughtered them. They said the blood was like a river flowing down the stairs. They ran into that temple. He said will be pulled down. They slaughtered them inside it. Have you seen the blood that a human body generates? Who has a clue? Who knows that human body can generate pails full of blood? You don't know. You don't know that your body is 1/2 fluid. Like if a human being dies and blood starts gushing out, you won't believe how much blood comes out. You'll be wondering all this liquid from where? Your system that runs on liquid. So they said the stairs, the blood was going. It was a magnificent temple, high stairs. The blood just went. Was so much in the history. Records, historical records of Josephus. This is after Jesus said, Father, forgive them. Can you picture if he didn't say it? That is with the forgiveness they committed enough fresh to collect. Do you understand? In spite of him forgiving, how much more if he had said, as you people have done to me, if he said that they would have crucified them all. Are you hearing me? If he said, with the same measure you have measured, maybe. So he made sure he did his best to reverse it. Now, like I said, they committed enough fresh. Do you get? Stephen did his own as they stoning him. He said, Lord, let this not be laid against their charge. Let it not be put. Do you know why a charge is? Lawyers, no. When you go to court, there are charges brought against you. Charge 1, charge 2, charge 3, charge 4. You already have a list of charges. Everybody, you already have charges against you. Stephen said, this stoning, they are stoning me to death. Don't add. Don't add it. Don't add it to this. I forgive them. Cancel. Don't put this. But I'm saying they had accumulated enough from other criminal acts to still be judged. Are you understand? And them with their mouth have said, let it be upon us and our children. See foolishness. So I tell people, don't let your mouth be running anyhow. Don't let your mouth run it. You don't. The spirit realm is a library of words. 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 Spanning, I want to say centuries, but it's not centuries. Millennia. Thousands of years. What did they say and keep? What did they say and keep? What had been said? Be careful what you say too. Because words. No. The spirit realm runs on words. It uses words. Words are like a sword and a shield. So you watch what you do with words. Authority, the more authority you have, the more your words can cause great damage. You find out one of the lepers we are going to look at. The only reason the person didn't have leprosy for life is because somebody said, Lord, please, please. And the Lord said, it's okay, the leprosy will last for 7 days. Another person, they said, the leprosy that was on somebody will be on you. And the person walked away white like snow. Dead. Leprosy. Words. Authority. So authority is, I repeat, obviously there's somebody here, you're looking for power. Remember, good looks, money, intelligence. That's what power is in the spirit realm. Don't want power. There's no way you want power casually. Oh, you better spend a very long time learning humility. Learn to endure unfair treatment. Learn all those things. Learn to have a deep order that says, God, forgive them. Learn to laugh at pain and unfair treatment. Maybe you're full of, is it just? May God judge between us. Tell God, even the small power, take it away. Because before you're done, you have killed many, you have caused great harm, caused people, done many bad things. Then at the end of your life, throughout this world, people will say, that guy is a powerful. Do you know anything he says? But when you stand in front of God, you say, I did many great things. You say, yeah, depart from me. I don't know you. Your nature is not my nature. I don't know you. This is especially important for the Nigerian church who admire power. Use your power to do good. That's what we do. Use it to bless people, to do good things. Now, some do too many good things in the sense that they use it to make people like them too. I don't like any of those extremes. Every time you want to call money on people, every time. It's not safe. I think I said it on Sunday again. I don't know if it's up to 10 times. I have officially. Maybe it's more. In recent times, I've done a little more. Maybe because I look at people more and see, it's the time they need money. And many things, because things were hard in Nigeria. I think last year I asked for money at least more than I've ever asked. Yes? Last year, I think, right? Maybe up to 3 times or 4 or more. I asked Father God, give them. And that's what you do with authority. And you see people have surprise blessings and supernatural provision and all that. That's because that's what you do with your mouth. Now, you can do bad too with that. You can. You can do bad. You can cause great harm and hurt. I know it. Sometimes you feel it. You feel it like if I say anything right now, it's going to happen. It's the same way you know that someone has a problem with their ear, or that there's somebody that their leg is. You just know it. It's as though in the spirit realm, they just open the slot. Do you want to withdraw? And sometimes, and you're angry. Someone has offended. And you know, if I say something, I know I've had people that have done us harm come to mind. Not once, not twice. And it comes. Bam! I'm in the bathroom or something. Strong. Do you want to say anything now? And I'm like, something that happened, you forgot about it. It comes strong to mind with pain. You say, no. Father, forgive them. Bless them. 5 minutes later, they call you. The person is on the way to the hospital, but they survived. There's no, you can't make it up. Did you hear what I just said? Then you're like, oh, that was permission for death. You're forgiving them, just gave them extra months, 5 more months. I'm serious. I'm not joking. I'm not telling you someone's there. I'm talking about me. Like, real. This happens. So it's like God says, would you like to, I want to punish now. Like, Father, forgive. I know they will be like, then there are other times you hear it, and some is not with pain, but you just like, I guess it's time, you know. Then. Some within hours, the person is dead. And again, these are not things we talk about. I don't talk about these things because sometimes there are people that are related to my people. Yeah, this is real. So I know, do you know how a man of God that hasn't been shaped by God would do? You say, you know, concerning that thing that happened, tell that person that, so you use it to shine. You know, that makes you even look more. Everybody's, who still wants power? Don't want power. You don't want power. Your head is not very correct if you want power. You don't know what power is. Power is danger. Power will put you in trouble, except you have learned to manage power like a master electrician. Are you understanding? You know how to put on gloves. You know how to handle it. You know how to say, no, stay away. You know how to be when there's, you know what to switch off. You switch off your feelings. You know how to switch off your emotions. That gets so worked up. I've looked at myself sometimes. I've gotten offended by people. And I wonder, what if I didn't spend so long? Why did I didn't spend 30 something years? I spent 20 years as a born again Christian. 20 plus. I spent another maybe, I don't know, how many more years. Let's say on average of 25 years or 30 before I started seeing the power of God. And without looking for power, I've heard people say they are looking for power, they are praying for power. And every time I would think, but I did not look for power or ask for power when I started seeing the power of God. I didn't ask. In fact, I was shocked. Illustration, your hand just cut someone's hair, lightning, illustration. They blow out of their seats. I didn't know, because I didn't ask. I didn't say, Lord, give me power. All I prayed was, God, give me insight into your word. When it was time for power, power should. But I didn't exploit it either. I didn't now start saying, let me keep doing things to show power. So you're here, you're hearing me. You've distracted me long enough. I'm going to drop the topic now. If you like, do what you like. I've warned you. If you like, come to your senses 10 years from now. You're very famous. But on your way to the lake of fire, then you know that the source of all power. There's a reason Jesus, with all his power and miracle working, was hidden for 30 years. For 30 years. Jesus kept quiet. Why do you think he did so? Why do you think he didn't just start saying, hey, even when his mother tried to push him out there, he was like, stop it. Why do you think he did that? You think it's false humility? That's not false humility. That's common sense. Especially you Nigerian Christians. You have a real problem. You don't know. I repeat, you don't know what you're doing. If you like, say, no, I heard this other preacher that said we should cry for power all the time. Believe anything you like. Have I not given you Bible? If you like, take it. After all, most of you don't believe in the Bible. You believe in power. You spend hours praying for power and you don't see that you're still praying. You don't know it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Once in a while, I've told stories because I know there's always someone who hears and says, let him leave it. Now, it's not his calling. It's not his gifting. That's why I say some, and I never tell our stories right. I do not, because I don't even remember. Once in a while, I'm reminded. Now, I've forgotten the other thing someone said the other day. I don't try to remember. We've seen many wonderful things. The Lord has done many amazing things, miraculous things. That we can have it happen and we don't remember means we didn't try to write it down deliberately. We didn't go out of our way to try to. It's not our nature. The other day, I was wondering if we should keep records because they are doubting Thomas's, who doubt everything. They don't believe there's any healings. They don't believe there's any miracles. They don't believe anyone can have cancer and be healed. They don't believe. Pastors, they are teaching their members. And then if you are to tell them or say, well, but the Holy Spirit is still doing things, they are going to tell you, where's the evidence? And I was thinking about how I've never cared to gather evidence. Never. I've thought of it. So I wondered, should we gather some evidence? Even if it's just 10 pieces of evidence of significant things with doctor's reports. Because some will say, where's the doctor's report? There's a war going on in the body of Christ right now. It's always been, but it's increasing. More and more people that believe in the Holy Spirit and His power to do anything are becoming cessationists, saying that the power ceased with the apostles. So there's a whole generation of people, they believe in giving their life to Jesus. Jesus died for us, but they don't believe God can heal, God can do all, speak the same way. It's very, very annoying. It's the only reason I would want to gather any evidence. Just that we have not been gathered. But I would suggest some of you, whether we ask you for it or not, some of you need to get your test results and keep. I heard a servant of God, very popular, accused. They said he said things happened. They said they checked the hospital report and nothing like that happened. Very shameful. Very many people, whether it's true or not, it may be true. You see, when people attack things, sometimes they ask me to present the impossible. You come to me and ask me, how can you prove God has ever healed or God heals? How would I answer it in spite of all the healings that happened in this house or through my ministry over the years? How can I prove it? I can't. All I can say, go and meet, I only know about maybe I have 10 names in mind. I can say meet. The rest, I was not even here to hear it. I didn't care, but I know God heals. And does miracles instantly and gradually. And I know he has done it so many times. So how do I prove it? In a sense, I would go like, I don't care to prove anything to you. You don't believe. That's your problem. That's your problem. But on the flip side, what about the sincere person who has been told over and over again, have you ever seen any of those miracles? And you say, well, actually, I've heard that. They will say, did you see it? So the new thing I've heard, I didn't know it before. They are saying one more that even those stories, men of God write, or preach, that is a lie, that it never happened, that the man of God is lying. Why? Because some men of God have been found to have lied. Are you seeing our dilemma here? Are you seeing the dilemma? Now, you might be sure, you know you've been healed of things, you know all those things have happened, but what happens to the skeptic who wants to believe, but says, frankly, I want to believe, but I've just never seen anything. What do you do to a person like that? When in my mind, I could say, what? There's tons of evidence. One reason I would ask if you're sick, do a test. Get the result. Don't throw it away. Photocopy it. Scan it. Keep it. When you get healed, photocopy it. Scan it. Keep it. In the future, you give your testimony. Someone is going to tell you. It may not be here. It may be in another part of the world. And they'll tell you it's an absolute lie. You're lying. It would be good that you can present. Or even if we ask, say, hey, you were healed here. You've been healed over the year. Bring evidence. Because there's a whole... It's a civil war, actually. It's a spiritual thing. It was prophesied many years ago. And the body of Christ is being torn more and more. People are becoming absolute Sadducees. They believe in Jesus, but they don't believe he can do anything now. I've told you why it's happening, but in case you have not heard it, and in case I didn't say it here, it's happening because at the end of the age, the most supernatural things that Satan has ever done will happen. And most people will follow the Antichrist because they will see supernatural things. Because the devil came ahead and made sure that everyone doubts the supernatural in the church. Do you see that strategy? I'll say it again in case you didn't get it. Satan has laid out a plan where men of God are being exposed as lying and different things so that Christians all over will say, oh, look, this fake, this Bible, fake. Then some will say, that means God does not heal. I used to think your book that I read meant it's true. Your messages I heard. But people have come out to say that they were not healed. That means it's a lie. Unfortunately, when the Antichrist arises, the beast, he's going to do, 2 Thessalonians 2 says he's going to manifest great signs and wonders and miracles. And it will be provable. Even fake ministries now, they like to really make you see. Ah, see what I did, see what I did. Even when they didn't do, they will say it. Even when they do small or anything they do, they advertise. Now, the beast is going to manifest such great miracles. So, all these Christians who were like, ah, fake, they are going to say, ah, real. And that's how the Bible says there will be a great falling away. And massive numbers will follow the Antichrist because they will say, this is original, authentic miracle. Because Satan ahead of time and is using church people, especially, to say it's fake. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, the problem is that there's a lot of fake. Do you get... But he's doing that thing where you give a blanket claim over everything. So there are people, they say things like, don't say anybody got healed, nobody got healed. And they are very popular all around the world. Some of them are preachers, some of them are online influencers, YouTube bloggers. More and more, they are saying, in fact, I'm not sure there's any miracles in the body of Christ. The problem is Satan is going to bring miracles, so they will cross and worship the devil. Does anybody understand what I just said? Don't sit there and think, oh, that concerns you. It doesn't concern you. It absolutely concerns you. If it doesn't concern you, concern your children who will go and worship the devil. But if you know that the true power of God is here in the true church of God, and Satan brings his own, you say, Satan, what's the big deal? We have our own too. Do you get it? But if you think there's nothing happening here, suddenly you're seeing magnificent miracles here. Many of those cessationists will follow the Antichrist. So they don't know what they are doing. They are preparing the body of Christ to be deceived. Do you understand what that does? So it's a big deal. We need to see the power of God. Do you understand me? Before you misunderstand me, I've said it. We see the power of God in this house routinely. We've seen it in many ways. It's not just that people get healed. We've seen the power of God do things that people like to hear. Who did I say they should start gathering stories of supernatural things? We need to do it. Oh. You see, I stand here and I don't remember nothing. We've seen wonderful things, amazing things, impressive things, things you read about, you hear about. We've seen it. Please remind me of one now. Remind me of two. Ibad. Oh yeah, those who always remember things. Tell me supernatural things that happen in this house. Microphone. Don't waste time. If everybody that knows anything is in the overflow, because all these new faces here, they don't know anything. Raise your hand. Don't talk about healing from headache, malaria. Don't even try it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about all those funny things. I don't trust any new hand. You're too young. Nothing happens now. Okay, things are happening all the time. I know because I'm not around to hear it. Hey, group, don't mind him. Don't mind him. Don't mind that brother Saturday there. Don't mind him. God forgive you. And all that. So he came, he was new, he came to visit us. He had a ganglion. Have you seen this big thing like this on time growing up? And I said, lift your hands, praise the Lord. Everyone, lift your hands, they worship him. And he lifted his hand, praise the Lord. By the time his hand came down, it was flat. He had already gone to the hospital. I didn't know, he told us later. They told him for surgery, 100,000 naira. I've asked, where's the money? Okay. So between his lifting his hand, as I said, lift your hand, worship the Lord. He brought down his hand. His hand was flat. Things like that. Now, look at it. I didn't remember this. Oh, yeah, those are the kind of story I'm looking for. Remind. See, because why is this important? There are people, you don't believe Jack. You don't believe anything. That's the brother. His name is Sad. He's not somebody. And when we say it, you call names. Yes, now I'll give you the mic. But the rest of you here, older people, you don't remember any story. So, cancer. I already said it. Now, don't talk about the cancer. What stage was it? I keep forgetting stage. What stage four? Oh, yours.
But the results I have, which is I have the tests.
You have the results, yes. You're the only person ever that had showed me anything.
The last result that I got from the cancer issue was that there's a way they explained it that all the different types of breast cancer. As in the worst kind was what
you had. Malignant.
Yes, and then aggressive.
Aggressive malignant.
So many, three of them very bad. So I was told that I had.
Okay.
And then there was some medicine that they gave me that I would take for the rest of my life.
Awesome. Well, not awesome. Oh, wow, that's right. God is awesome. I mean, the God who healed that is awesome.
So, I
yes.
But,
yeah.
I have one.
Awesome. Yes.
So, when I came, I always want people to know that I did not come to God's life
for the healing, you know, but the power of God.
I came here.
Yes. Yes, awesome. So
when I came and pastor kept preaching the word of God, as I was listening to the word of God, I could stay for hours, something that I have never experienced before. So after the retreat, I remember very well, I told Sister Auntie Adiomi. Okay, so Auntie Adiomi, that I had told her that I would like to go and get, that I feel like I should go and test again. Because I feel that.
You felt that you've been healed, okay? Yes.
So, I went after the deeper water retreat. And when I went there, the results, I did all the tests, and I was healed.
You did test in two different places. Was it one?
It was one place, because that was the only place that they could,
test.
I trusted in you.
Okay.
So I went, but I did in two different.
That's what I meant now. Okay, so he did it, and they just for the extra evidence.
Yes.
Awesome. You know, and all the other things that accompanied, the weakness gone, everything gone.
Weakness gone, everything. Now I'm not on any medication. Over one year, let me just be.
More than a year. But,
more than a year.
Okay.
Not a year.
Deeper Waters was December 2022. All right, so, did I say another hand? Yeah?
So for my own, I had a very big ganglion.
No, I've said it already now, guys. Don't repeat it. No, we don't have time. We don't have time. I didn't want to take testimonies. This is not what I meant. I wanted examples, and I didn't even want healing. The healings are too many. I didn't want the healing testimony. I wanted them. I was talking about power. So I was thinking of things like, okay, when meetings will finish and people's legs will stop walking. Okay, they couldn't walk. I was talking about angels slapping people, you know, and people going dumb. Those kinds of things. Not healings. Come on now. No need for that. But go and get your evidence if you can get it. Uh-huh.
So I have a story from the IK house during the lockdown. After
food multiply. That kind.
There are two stories. The first one is multiplication of food. We had a pot of soup in the house. I and John were the only person in the house at the time. And the pot of soup could have been enough for maybe three people. But after the church service on a Sunday, there were more than 13 people in the parlor. We didn't have enough food. But the people were hungry because we had stayed the entire day, you know. So at the end of the service, John came to me and was like, boss, food no day this house, so how we go do? I just said, is there soup in the house? I said, warm the soup and just make a banana, let's all eat. And then we all ate the food, and there was still much left. Almost as though it was enough.
They didn't scoop it out at once. Those are the kinds of stories that I was talking about.
The other story is about my brothers and sisters. After the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, at the time, Brother Etido, he lost his ability to speak English. I intercepted a note where he wrote to his sister that he needs a cup of water, can't speak English.
He was speaking in tongues.
Yes, he was speaking.
He could only speak in tongues. Again, that's happened to quite a number of people.
Yes, and that sustained you the same time the following day.
Okay, so that was 24 hours. We've seen 3 hours. We've seen different ones. Some people, they have to escort them home because they can't talk in English to the keke man. So you have to get people to follow them. You know, all of that. So again, those are the kinds of things I was asking about. Yes, Sister Nyebekong. Yes, where are stories? Yes, yes.
Tales
of the supernatural, please. That's what I'm looking for. This is your judgment day. Uh-huh.
I was giving testimonies. I can't remember. So
I don't want healing testimony. If it's healing, I want miraculous. I don't, again, how do I explain this? I want the extra dramatic ones. And it was for the sake of, okay, fine, we can't go. I'll ask you again. You haven't done what you're meant to do. Now, again, many of the people in this upper floor, you know, we give the newer people the chance to be here. So many of the older people, I'm sure there are people online saying, hey, me. There are these people who are recorders. They carry... They carry info. I don't. I do not keep information. It's a terrible thing, but it's not bad. I don't think it bad. It helps you stay sane. It's not good to know or think or feel too powerful. But I'm saying that now. I suspect that the reason this is happening, and I'm saying these things, I'm saying is that there's someone. Even as I was giving this illustration, the person is saying, Well, it's true, Shao. Who says, so you're a doubting Thomas. You think the supernatural. The supernatural is very real. I took time to talk about not wanting power because people run after it like, once I have this, I'll be fine. And I'm telling you, no. Even if you do see the power of God, I was giving myself as a small illustration. Try not to dwell on it. When the Spirit of God shows up to do miraculous things, let Him do. When he finishes doing, try and return to normalcy very fast. Do your best to act normal. Do your best to say something like, I'm very hungry. You know, who has Gary? Just be human. It will help people not extol you much. It will help them treat you ordinarily. You will survive longer. If you ride on it and go like, you know, I dwell in the realm above. So when you finish, instead of eating Gary, everyone, they have to go and start making fried rice for you, treat you like a small king. The sooner you will tumble, the devil loves it. He loves big heads. Are you hearing me? The devil loves big heads. You know, so I was trying to share. I thought of sharing supernatural stories. I mean, we'll share. There will be those. Someday, maybe we'll just, if the Lord permits it, you know, we'll give it. Something. These are things I want it with names. For those hearing me, the people in the diaspora, the older people, and even recent, okay, you hear people tell stories. We have lots of stories. Hundreds, or if not thousands, of stories of supernatural interventions. Things that are so clearly supernatural that some are impossible. You write an exam, you think, oh God, I failed, you have an A. That's, you know, you didn't have a C or a D. You had an A. How could you have an A? You submitted a paper. You were sure you failed. Then you had an A. That's supernatural. You didn't pay bribes. You didn't sort. You didn't do anything. You know, stories of things that went beyond the natural. Talking to people that are not there. Having angelic encounters. They're walking on the way. Someone comes by you and starts saying what you were thinking or what you dreamt. Walks with you for a while. Speaks very strangely. And then disappears. Talk about those kinds of stories, you know. You turn, and it's impossible. They are not there. They were there now, and they are not there now. How? I'm talking about those kinds of stories. Okay? Talking about stories of, I don't know if that's healing, but eyes, your eyes doing things you shouldn't do. Being able to see in ways you shouldn't, people can't see, you know. It's not like things are replaced. Things are changed, transformed, you know, and all that. Again, I do not try to keep records, but I know that we have had the Lord do very amazing things. We are grateful for it. But I was saying that to say, we didn't get Him do that by running after that and spending our time praying, ka, 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 ka. Lord, we want to see it. We want to see it. No, I'm the leader in this house of believers. And I can assure you, we were not saying, Lord, we want to see it. You must do this for us. When He did it. If your ways please the Lord, if you live a life that seeks to produce the fruit of the Spirit, you will see the supernatural. So I was saying all this to tell the person that says, if I can only see power, I'll be fine. We have seen power. And all we were trying to do was please God by bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. long suffering, goodness, gentleness, humility. As we pursued that, the signs, okay, the signs would come. The wonders, the things that make you wonder, that's why a wonder is, would happen. Stop saying that the only people, this house on preacher's pitch, you can never see the power if you don't ask. What, have you heard things like that? It's not true. This preacher standing in front of you is a pure example. Not true. And even when we saw it, we would refuse to build on it. Okay? So when I finish a meeting and I'm coming out and they are carrying people, they say, what happened? They say this one was hugging the pillar of the gate because when they got there, the power of God was on them so much they couldn't walk anymore. And all that. And they are carrying three people, hefty, and it was all hefty people. That, you know, people are holding, you know, what happened? And they couldn't go home. It's time to go to the hostel. They couldn't go because their legs are non-functional. It was good enough for them to walk out, but they couldn't walk back. You know, that people are seeing, you know, the supernatural engaging. People are on their way to do something. An angel stands in front of them, a real angel with a sword. Those kinds of things I'm talking about, that we don't come talking about it. Again, it's not normal. It's not how Nigerians flow. You want to talk, you want to exploit it, you want to milk it for all it's worth. No, you don't need to. You can just keep pursuing the fruit of the Spirit. When it happens, the way I've always put it is like, oh, awesome. I move right on. I act as though nothing happened. That's why I don't remember it. I only remember the things I comment on once in a while. If I comment on it twice, thrice, I'll remember. But because I don't comment on 99% of what happens, I don't remember them. But they are there. Again, why am I saying this? For the doubting Thomas and for the other person that says, if you're not, what you do not, tell me now, how the Pentecostal says, what you don't honor, esteem, you will run from you. No. We were not esteeming. We are excited about the power of God. I've told you many stories about the supernatural I've heard. We are excited. I love the supernatural. I like it. But when you hear people talk about gas, you heard about Seno talking about leaving food. What was she cooking? Rice? You see, you people are terrible. Like, let's just agree. It's bad. It's bad. Me, when know the day here? This is something I saw on video after how long since she said it. She left a pot of food on the fire, came to church, spent 6 hours, went back. The fire was still on and the thing in the pot was not burnt. When you hear things like that, you forget. Why do you forget? How many of you heard when she said it? You see how many sinners we have? Visitors. This is why Jesus died. You don't forget a thing like that. How can you forget? Now, that's an example. What kind of thing is that? How is it possible? She carried the pot. The fire was still on. Where is she? Overflow. I don't know how many hours. I said 6. It may have been 8 hours that she was away. It's impossible. That's not a possibility. Now, it's either she's lying. But why would she lie? Why would she come here? We are here peacefully loving Jesus. A young girl will just come and stand here and don't lie. In the Bible, you go and dig up a massive lie. Come and drop on the altar. Why would you do that? There's no basis to tell such a lie because nobody here was interested or asked her anything. Are you understanding? So that's the kind of thing that a preacher now says and someone says, you're a liar. Do you see it? Then I'll turn to the person and say, were you lying? I choose not to doubt her because she has no reason to tell the story. It doesn't give me glory. It doesn't give her glory. When she told you, she was talking about how God is merciful on a foolish girl like her. That's why she was telling that God is so kind. But why would she say it if it's a lie? That the fire was on under a pot. She went from morning on a Sunday and went back in the evening and was still on. And what was the fire? You can't make these things happen. So those are the kinds of stories I'm talking about. Supernatural interventions. Running gas that has finished for how long and is still cooking and cooking. And if I start asking, hands will keep going up all over this place. Many, many times. So not just supernatural things that happen here, but outside, in our church group, in our day-to-day life, money not finishing. Money you're sure finished. Let me just ask that one. But it was still there. You don't understand it. You're sure you spent all the money, but there's not in the pocket, in the pot. Let me tell you. Again, you can't say I plan to ask this question, and I'm not pushing it. there are more hands down there. Again, now visitors, now people. There are more hands down there. This is the reality. Now, so that we are seeing such things happen as part of our lives, but we don't trumpet it and use it to sell ourselves. When you sell power, when you sell yourself as a purveyor of power, that is, you put out yourself. Do you know power is here? Do you know power is here? They will come in the thousands and they will be flaky, fake. They are not coming for Jesus. They are coming for bread. And this pastor hates bread seekers. My God, I so do not want them coming. Now, come long enough to hear Jesus is Lord. Bow your knee. But after a while, I can assure you, because of you, dryness always comes. That's where God says, let them go. And I don't mind. I don't mind. How many of you want to find Jesus for Jesus' sake? How many of you want to be made heirs of the kingdom which is to be revealed? How many of you desire to see God's kingdom come? If you do, then you must be free of leprosy. Put down your hands. Let's wrap up. What are the things that keep you outside the camp? What is leprosy in today's language? The book of Revelation, chapter 22. Well, let's start from chapter 21. I want you to read for me from verse 22 to 27.
But I saw no temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city had no need of sun or moon to shine on it, because the glory of God illuminates the city, and the Lamb is its lamp. By its light the nations will walk, and into it the kings of the earth will bring their glory. Its gates will never be shut at the end of the day, because there will be no night there. And into the city will be brought the glory and honor of the nations. But nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who practices an abomination.
Pause. Leprosy, number one.
Unclean.
Unclean. When we keep studying, I'm going to show you in the law where it says that those that have leprosy should be saying when they walk. Unclean. 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 But I wanted to show you how you qualify as a leper today and to know if you're a leper already. One, unclean. You're unclean. Two, you practice an abomination or a lie. But do you see that? Wait. That's all. That's all you're going to take from there. You're going to jump forward. Then you jump backwards in this chapter 21. But first of all, I want you to jump forward to verse 25, 26. No. Let me read in another translation. The same thing we are reading there. Verse NIV says, nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, an abomination or a lie. You do what is shameful or deceitful, you will not enter what?
The city.
Who knows what the city is based on what we read earlier? The camp of the holy people. If you don't know what the word saint is, it means the holy people. And the Lord has said that he dwells in the city, in the holy people's place. So you should not defile it. When the children of Israel were in the wilderness, he said, when you go to defecate, carry like a small trowel, a paddle, you say that, for digging the ground and covering it. He said, why? For the Lord God walks in the midst of the camp. I want you to see, for all of you, again, I've told you, everything is in the law. The devil came and stole the law, so you can't see. When you read Leviticus, you see Revelation. The whole scripture is laid out. One was the shadow of things to come. You want to understand this city? I am showing it to you from the law. In the law, right there, it tells you that the Lord God walks in the midst of the camp. The same thing he said here, that he, the Lord God, the Lord Jesus, he himself, the Lamb, was moving around in the midst of the city. Now, I wanted to show you in verse, this same chapter 21. Read verse 2, and then you jump forward.
I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband.
So have you seen the holy city? Are we sure we've seen it? Jump down now to verse 7. It's a continuation.
The one who overcomes will inherit
all. Will inherit what?
All things.
All things.
And I will be his God and he will be my son.
Have you seen the inheritance? The city is the inheritance. Are you understanding? we don't have time to read chapter 21 to 18. You can go and read it. But you all know the bride who came out of heaven. That it's the city of God, right? That city is the camp. Chapter 20 told you. Fire came from heaven, consumed all the spirit. Then the Lord superimposed over the former city and camp to superimpose the city. The bride saw it and it came down. Now look at verse 8. Read, everyone.
But to the cowardly.
One.
An unbelieving.
Two.
An abominable.
Three.
And murderers.
Four.
And sexually immoral.
Five.
And sorcerers.
Six.
And idolaters.
Seven.
And all lies.
Eight.
Their place. That burns with fire and sulfur. This is the second death.
This is the second death, people of God. People of God, these people were not allowed to enter the city of God. This is the leprosy you must dread. This is leprosy. Do not have any of this in your life. For when you do this in the spirit, you push yourself outside of the camp. Do not say it's impossible to overcome, for you're seated amongst many, many, many who have overcome these things. Right now, you're seated amongst many. Remember the part we read. Let those who are doing unrighteousness continue. Let those who are doing this, let them continue. Let them continue. The last place I want us to read, we didn't read it finally, is verse 14 and 15.
The wall of the city.
No. Chapter 22.
Blessed are those who wash their robes.
Pause. Who is responsible for washing this robe? Jesus or us?
Us.
Is there anyone that doesn't agree? You think this robe washing here is the job of Jesus? Does everyone agree this is a personal responsibility? That's why he said, blessed are you. Happy will you be if you wash your robes. I've told you. I keep telling you about the robes of righteousness. The Bible tells you it's the righteous actions of the saints. Your works, your deeds. Hear it, O generation that has been told that Jesus did it all. You washed it. There's no I dash you robe. Happy. The opposite of happy is unhappy are you if your robes are not washed. You will not be happy if you didn't wash your robes. And the washing is on you. That is why you need sound doctrine. The washing of the water by the word. Jesus supplies the water. Pure doctrine, sound doctrine, pure teaching is clean water. False teaching is dirty water. Your robes can't be pure because you use brown water. You don't look for what you want to hear. You look for what God said. Then you direct your life accordingly. That's how you wash. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter where? The city by its gate. No window. You don't climb in through the window. You don't dig under the fence. You walk through the gates. I am the door, Jesus. Whoever comes through me will go in and find pasture. We are reading verse 15 together. One, two, go.
But outside are the doors.
Where?
Outside. The sorcerers, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood.
We've just read portions from chapter 21 and 22. How many times did you see God give you a list? In the last two books of the Bible, do I need to explain anything or is someone getting understanding? Why in the last two chapters of the Bible does God keep giving us the same list? How many of you think it is important that you are not sexually immoral? How many of you think it's very vital that you are not a dog who goes back after things that were expelled? How many of you think you should spend your whole life pursuing how to overcome sorcery, murder, idolatry, and falsehood? If you think these things are absolutely imperative for your future well-being, make sure you're here on Friday. We are looking at leprosy. We are looking at the things that would disqualify people from staying in the camp. Not just in the future camp of God's people, in the spiritual camp now. Your choices today determine your accommodation tomorrow. Outside the camp will be a certain kind of people. Physical leprosy is much better than spiritual leprosy. You don't want any of this. You want to be clean. And you can be. You have no excuse. If you have struggled, like many, many people in this house shared in their testimonies, you struggled so hard to overcome all these sins, all these things, I want you to be encouraged with this. I know we have only few of those testimonies online, and we are still trying to, you know, go back to 2017, 18, 19, you know, and dig up testimonies and put them out online. I want you to hear them. You're hearing me online, okay? Please look for the testimonies. Go to the live testimony segment in our website, g-lh.org. Go to our website. Go to testimonies, then go to the place. I know they are working on our website, but the old website is still there. Go to the place where they say life testimonies. Read them. When you read them, say, is this true? If it sounds impossible, ask for the name of the person. Ask anybody in this church that is older. They will give you the phone number of the person who gave that testimony, so you can talk to them personally. And the reason I'm saying that is for those who keep hearing the lies of the devil tell you it's not possible to overcome what you struggle with. I can assure you, when you hear the testimonies that our people have shared in this house, you will know that your own story is not as bad as many other people's own. Then you will be able to maybe take heart. If you can't believe this preacher, you can believe your fellow young person who overcame very terrible past. Let that be your encouragement. But may you not hear me and walk away and say, he doesn't know. My own is too hard. There's nothing Jesus can do, because no matter how hard you think it is, a future outside the camp will be worse. A future outside what you call the lake of fire is being outside the camp of God's people. That is the second death. The lake of fire, chapter 20, last verse, is the second death. It is when the lepers are locked outside. Stand here. You have hope. You're hearing me here. You have hope. I don't care how much you struggle. I don't care how many people you've slept with. It doesn't matter. God can shatter that yoke. He has shattered it in the lives of hundreds and hundreds. Just in this congregation, all over the world, he has set free millions, if not billions of people. You too can be set free. You can live a life that is pure. Week after week, month after month, year after year, you can say, nobody's finger that is not my spouse has touched me. Even though in the past, they used to touch you almost every day. You can say, because we have seen it. You have no excuse. All we offer you is that if you keep coming, we will help you. The same ways God helped all the other people. This is our emphasis, not on input, power, miracle, signs. This is the greatest miracle, that a person can live a pure life that was once bound by sin. We have just 2 to 3 minutes. I want us to use that time to pray. Simple prayer. Remember, we are going to build. So what we don't finish today, we'll continue on Friday. We are building. So just make sure you're here and come early. Don't come late. I want you to, first of all, I'm giving you 30 seconds. Thank the Lord that you're hearing these things while they still hope. You don't find this out after you die. Tell him thank you. Thank you, Father, that I'm hearing these things while I still have a chance. There's hope. More hope for a living dog than a dead lion. Even though you're like a dog, but you're alive at least. There's more hope for you than a dead lion. Father, we are grateful. Father, we are grateful. Father, we are grateful. We are grateful. For truth, for light, for life, for understanding, for revelation. Thank him for what he saved you from. Has God broken you free? Take it for granted. Your mates are dead. In sin or in the grave. Tell him thank you for breaking you free from immorality, from deceitfulness, from hypocrisy, from being a dog, swallowing your vomit. Stop today, continue tomorrow. Tell him thank you from being filthy, from being false, from being empty. We say thank you. We give you praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. One more prayer point. We'll go deeper on Friday. You're telling Father, I want to be in the camp. I do not want to be outside the camp. Give us one of those lists, please. Give us the one from what, chapter 22. Give us something to pray with. Tell him any of the things on that list you had, including those that tell lies and say everybody lies. The Bible says if you love and practice falsehood, you'll be in that category. You practice. You don't just like. You like lies. Then you practice it. Covering up all sorts of things. Being dishonest. These are severe things. Spiritual leprosy. You will be outside God's camp. you can be assured. God does not lie. I can assure you, God does not fear you too. Ask God, rid me every inclination for any of these things. Please, listen. Start the process. In case this is fresh to you, say, please, from today, start the process of delivering me. And then for those that have already gotten started to get free of it, say, God, complete the process of ridding me of all this leprosy, of any kind of it. Pray. You have 1 minute. Father, we come to you. We thank you for your word. I am praying for myself. I pray for your children. Rid me. Every iota of behaving like a dog. Bad habits going back. Purge your children of all form of drug use, sorcery, immorality, mental immorality, murder, hatred, anger without a cause. Purge your children of idols, greed, covetousness. Purge, oh God, of all forms of falsehood, embracing liars, welcoming that which is untrue, treating it as though it is of no consequence. Purge us, oh God, set us free to do your will all our life. Thank you, Lord God. Blessed be your name. Amen. Lift your hands. Father, I commit everyone under the sound of my voice now and in the future. I'm asking you, Lord, hear their prayer. Lord, hear their prayer. Visit them and break them free.
Amen.
Break them free.
Amen.
Let them not just be saved from all this list of disqualifiers, from all these sources of leprosy and manifestations, but let them be able to free others.
Amen.
Raise those from this house who will be a source of deliverance, who will not be ashamed. Let the work commence. Lord, I ask for the host of heaven to join in the process of restoring.
Amen.
And help your children understand that the sign and the wonder of a changed life is greater than any physical manifestation.
Amen.
The sign and the wonder of a changed heart, of a corrupted heart, of victory over sin is a greater sign than a brand new leg, than brand new eyes. Father, let your people, the church, be restored to extolling your deliverance from the yoke of sin and death. May nobody here be able to live a life that is at peace with unrighteousness.
Amen.
Do more than we've asked to imagine.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen.
We pray you receive eyes to see, ears to hear, and an understanding heart. Remember, test all things and hold fast to what is good. For more information, visit our website at gods-lighthouse.org.